Sylvester Stallone was hanging from a copy of the DVD of Cliffhanger off of a cliff.
I was thinking
that's how much of a cliffhanger it was.
Roll for host, boyos.
9, 6,
14. Sweet. 2 in a row. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Escort Mission Podcast.
Thank you.
Yes. And viewers out there, as well as my wonderful co-host, Josh. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Michael.
All right. This is not stilted in any way. Wait, I can't read the cue card from here. And Chaz, how's it going? This is number 22, people. 22, we got the shit in the bag.
Oh my God, I've never heard the name Michael before. That's hilarious.
Are you alive, Chaz?
Yeah,
all I hear
yeah.
is laughing.
That was funny.
Okay.
How are you? Charles.
You got me with that one. Names are funny sometimes.
Charles the Fourth.
Chaz. Okay. So it's the Escort Mission Podcast, where we talk about games and things. So we're going to do that for a little while. Sit back and enjoy the show. Okay. Rock, paper, scissors for it.
Smooth.
Rock, paper, scissors for it. Ready?
The two of
Both
us?
Both of you. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Hit it.
Wait.
3, 2, 1.
What's your
throw point? It down. 3, 2, 1.
You gotta do
throw
three
it.
Bumps.
Okay, well, he just went 3, 2, 1, hit it. I thought hit it was like,
do
it right away.
No, yeah,
all right, whatever, just
bumps.
Do it.
All right, I'm throwing rock. I'm throwing rock.
Okay.
I'm serious about that.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay. I'm throwing rock.
Okay.
Do it.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Boom.
You win.
All right.
I threw rock.
He said he was going to.
Now, again, you did 1, 2, 3 throw.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
You don't go 1, 2, boom?
No one does that.
You go on 3?
Yes. No, you don't go on 3.
You say you go
one,
on
two, 3,
but then
go.
You go after 3. Even though people say on 3, they mean after 3.
Those people are psycho.
That's everyone.
Just like in a race. You know, it counts down 3, 2, 1, go. You didn't go 3, 2, go.
But we counted up. You said go on 3. I went on 3. I was throwing
no,
rocks.
But nobody means
no, no, no,
that.
No, Charles. Go literally on 3. Like, after
right.
3.
So, Josh, you won that meaningless competition. Go for it. How was your week?
It's similar to how people use literally wrong. They always do that wrong. All right.
They literally use literally.
I didn't do
wrong.
A lot.
Oh, I gotcha. You said literally. I get it. Go literally on 3. Yeah. I'm with it. I didn't realize you were making a joke there.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Before you go, Josh.
This is so smooth.
I was very
so polished. Tim, yo,
highest ratings ever.
I was very disappointed last week. You did not hit one of the guitars in the room.
Yeah, I
you
did.
Didn't
after the episode.
Would you please do the honors
ceremonially?
Oh,
there we go. Feels good.
All right. All right, Josh, take it away. As I'm good.
Do say something for Christ's sake.
All right, I'm going to talk about not games first. Let's see. We saw Looper.
We did.
Looper. Can we hold off on extended discussion because I'm seeing it tomorrow?
No, I'm going to extensively talk about Looper.
Going to spoil the shit out of it.
It was a movie. It was pretty good.
It had actors in it.
Okay, we'll talk more about it
later. From 1 to 27, how many stars would you give it?
Bananas.
27? Jesus Christ, yeah. That's an interesting scale. 19?
Okay.
22?
Ooh.
Wait, what is it? 19 or 22?
21.
So what is it? 19, 22, or 21?
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and give it.
23.
I'm going to give it pancakes. That's what I'd say.
Pancakes are not on the scale.
But they're good.
22
Think of
and
pancakes.
Think about that.
22 and
With
a half.
Syrup on it, any kind you want.
It was quite good. I'd say it's quite good.
All right. Excellent.
It's a good movie.
I'm looking forward to it.
At least one thumb up.
Will we have a lot to discuss? Is it brain bending?
Yes, we will have something to discuss.
Excellent.
If we want to spoil it.
Which we will. We're going to spoil it next
week.
Yeah,
we can do a spoiler cast.
Okay.
I mean, I could not spoil and say that I wasn't quite paying attention enough at the beginning where they do some explaining and exposition, mm-hmm. and I made a false presumption. And so then when things started to happen, I got confused. Mm-hmm. Not because it was a confusing movie.
I got confused.
But because I was a little dumb at the beginning. I subsequently figured out my incorrect assumption and then became totally unconfused for the rest of the whole thing.
Cool.
I'm actually, because I talked to Justin about this afterwards when Josh was not present, I'm very curious to see whether Josh's incorrect presumption was my incorrect presumption, because I also made one and was confused for the first 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, okay, I
this
get
is
it.
Fun. Yeah, we should talk it was more good. In the abstract without giving any spoilers at all about our...
we should do lots of things like that. No. We should give, like, travel tips.
So,
I visited Versailles.
I can't tell you exactly where, but it's, like, pretty awesome. It has good food. When the person of one or the other sex, you know, that you meet or don't meet. Anyway.
And scene.
All right, let's see. You know what I just saw? I just saw a funny Romney YouTube.
I thought you were going to say cat video.
Apparently, yeah, Romney cat video. I saw a funny Romney cat video.
It's just a cat on the roof of a car.
It was.
Come on.
No, I see what you did there.
Yeah, that was good. It was apparently taken in May, but I only saw it now. Like, it only hit blogs now or something. And it's pretty hilarious. It's this quote of Romney speaking, you know, a clip of Romney speaking to a group, campaigning or whatever. And he's talking about alternate sources of energy and coal, and the question is about oil and blah, blah, blah. And he goes on and for a little bit. It's a minute-long thing. And then he talks about how Hitler used liquid coal. So liquid coal is probably a good idea.
What?
What? Because Hitler used it?
Well, you know...
Ipso facto?
You know how, like, when you're talking...
QED, bitch. Hitler used it.
In, like, normal conversation with human beings, not campaigning for the presidency, you say things that might be interpreted badly. Yeah, he did one of those. So, like, the subtext in what he was saying was, hey, guys, Hitler had some good ideas.
Look, say what you will about Hitler.
Yeah. The man could paint, all right?
No, he didn't say that directly. He was talking about all these alternate sources of energy. Uh-huh. And he said, for example, Hitler used, you know, liquid coal. Right.
As soon as you say Hitler, I space out. I can't hear anything.
Yeah,
you
don't hear anything else except, are you saying we should learn something from Hitler?
He was a politician at this point, was he not? Like, it's not like this was 35
this was
years
May.
Ago. Okay. So he's definitely knows he's a presidential candidate.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know amazing. Why this is.
Why wouldn't you just say Germany? Like, a lot of people, you can say, you know, Germany during World War II, the Messerschmitt was a good piece of engineering, right? Like, you could say something like that. You don't have to say Hitler was all for
no,
it.
No, I agree. He must have understood that he made a mistake, like, seconds after it, but but he said it, and it's on YouTube. Yeah, it didn't look faked.
Moment.
It didn't look faked to me.
Yeah.
But because it sounds like him the whole time. But I don't know why it's not getting bigger press coverage. I don't know why I didn't hear about it in May. But it's pretty funny. We'll link the clip or whatever. You guys can tell me what you think. But it is one of those things where he's not saying anything that you might necessarily factually disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hilarious. Anyway. Oh, man, Google Now. So, I got the Jelly Bean update on my Galaxy Nexus.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
Man, I want that shit.
One day after the Jelly Bean update, or less than one day, I had multiple instances of web browsing and noticing that Flash was missing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had no idea that it was so nice to have Flash functioning in the browser on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And one day after they take it out, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like,
everything uses Flash.
These multiple sites are not working.
Yeah.
And so I haven't yet looked for a hack, but there are hacks or whatever on XDA forums to reinstall it and get it working. But supposedly Google took it out, took out official support for Flash and Jelly Bean because they said it speeds up the operating system.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't have Flash running, the OS is faster. I don't know if that's true, because it seems like it should just be an app. Like, shouldn't it just not be running when you're not in the browser? And it shouldn't slow down the whole system just because it's maybe running in the background?
All I know about Flash is that it just has the general reputation of slowing your shit down. Like, full-on PCs run shitty. You know, MacBooks for a long time had, like, until they wrote specific drivers or something, had just, like, were notorious for getting super hot when Flash was running. Like, it was just using inordinate cycles. And
yeah, or it's an excuse for all these people to stop including it and start standardized to HTML5.
Which is clearly a better option, right?
Yeah, it is, but not the whole internet has gone 100% to HTML5 yet. Yeah. It's just reality. So, which is disappointing.
I certainly wouldn't put it past them saying, any corporation saying, it's because it makes our shit work better, when in reality it's because we couldn't get a business deal done.
Right.
That's exactly what happened with Maps, with Maps on iOS 6. Like, Apple wanted to add turn-by-turn directions, Google Maps supported it. You know, Larry Page said, cool, thumbs up, but we want increased branding or for you to pay us a bunch of money. Right, either a big fat, like, this is Google Maps stamp in the Maps app on iOS, and Apple was like, no, we're not going to do either of those things. And they said, okay, well, we're not going to let you do turn-by-turn directions with our maps. And so they had to go build their own.
Yeah, but they could still let them be in the marketplace, but they're not letting them.
Yeah.
Which is exceptionally jerky.
Corporations.
Well, are we sure about that? Because I hear conflicting ideas about whether there's a Google Maps app coming out.
They're working on it.
Okay. Well, I heard they were working on it, and then I heard an announcement from Google CEO Eric Schmidt, mm-hmm. right, that said, we were working on it, but Apple just let us know that we can't release it, so we're ceasing working on it.
Oh. Well, that's Schmitty.
Yeah. I heard that a week ago, and I think it was...
Bull Schmidt.
Straight from... it theoretically could have been Eric just...
posturing
in the press, but it sounded like they were quitting because Apple said no.
So they got Tim Cook blocked.
Haha.
That's where you're going with it.
So Google the phone seems faster. Jelly Bean is a little faster, the butter project or whatever, even though I didn't reflash the whole thing.
Like, buttery,
I
still not have stuttery.
Still have all my apps run, you know, installed.
It's on, like, the website.
It does feel a little smoother. And the only other major and the taskbar is a little neater, has some more features. And the only other major thing is Google Now, right? Like the whole cards and intelligence thing.
Yeah.
Which I launched and was like, okay, and then figured I would never launch it again. Mm-hmm. but the one way that it was super cool so far, using it after a few days, on my computer at work in Chrome, I searched for a business or location, like a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Like you do.
Right? In Costa Mesa. And, 30 minutes later, when I went to use my phone and actually go to lunch, like I was leaving for lunch and looked on my phone at my notification bar said, hey, by the way, it will take you 88 minutes to get to Costa Mesa, you know, Mastro Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Because there is an 8-minute delay from traffic.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, that's awesome.
That's so cool.
Like, just because I searched in Chrome on my work computer, and I let Google have all my information everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're going to let them have some, why not let them have all just to get all the features? That was pretty awesome. Yeah. I wasn't going to drive to Masters and Costa Mesa right then, but I could see that being useful in the future.
And it gave you that because it was about lunchtime. You were leaving your work.
And I had just searched
for a restaurant. Yeah.
It thought I might go to that
creepily
restaurant.
Creepily awesome.
It's, no, that's, it's, I'm so ready for that. I actually, the new HTC hardware looks a freaking amazing. And I am just hopeful beyond hope that that's the next Nexus, or that they actually really, the new HTC Windows Phone hardware that they just released looks amazing, and I'm hoping they do a version of that with...
I heard that the next Nexus was just going to be like an upgraded Samsung Galaxy Nexus.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be virtually identical to the Samsung Galaxy Nexus, but with just 0.2 processor speed faster, 0.2 gigahertz, and like maybe some more memory and RAM, and
lame.
Maybe the display's better or something.
Weak sauce. They should not do that.
It's a good phone. I mean... I have no complaints except that it's a little slippery on the back, so I had to get a case with a little more grip. And it's not Gorilla Glass. I fucking love brand name Gorilla Glass, and this thing got a crack in it when I dropped it gently.
Mm-hmm.
It's still functional, but it has an annoying crack in it. And other than that, I have like no complaints. It's freaking great. So I don't think you should hold out. I still think it's like the best phone on the market.
It's the Android phone I would buy if I were going to buy one now, but there's supposedly a new Nexus coming out, which maybe won't be, but still, you know, it's going to be like a month from now. I can wait for a month.
In theory, it would be awesome if they come out with one that's a million times better in a lot more unexpected ways, like we might talk about later in the episode with our main topic.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Spoiler.
Not a lot else. I watched some shitty TV. and I played some Torchlight 2. Torchlight 2 is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
I agree.
You guys play Torchlight?
Uh-huh.
I have not. Not still? Beyond last
no, Torchlight
night.
1.
Oh, yeah. I played that for
yeah, Torchlight
a while.
2 is like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Very similar.
Sure is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Torchlight.
It's a Diablo clone.
Yep.
It's a good game.
You walk around, you hack at things, they die, and they give you loot.
Yeah.
And then you do it again.
You click on monsters.
Loots have colors. You pick up the loot. You sell the loot.
Some colors
loot
are better.
You don't sell.
I don't know. There's not a lot to say about it. There's four classes. They're kind of new, kind of every game ever, you know. The one that's cool is like the engineer is actually a heavy melee class.
Yeah.
With a big old wrench that makes a nice clunk sound. And that one's pretty fun. You know, you bash guys in the head real hard with wrenches.
I'm so glad this is not being taken out of context. It sounds horrible otherwise.
I highly recommend you, like Tycho said, do not play on normal.
Mm.
Normal, like, I can't even imagine how easy it is because I'm playing on veteran, which is one step up in difficulty. And it is still a little bit easy at times. I mm-hmm. almost never die. Like, I died once with the mage, the Ember Mage. And I have died zero times with every other class that I've tried so far a little bit. Excuse me. Although I go low in health a little bit, and I use my defensive abilities and potions as the engineer. I've gotten to level 10 or 12 or something. Never died. So I might even, like, I was tempted to restart on the highest difficulty, which is like insane or something, but
yeah.
It probably not that insane.
They also have a hardcore mode.
Yeah, that's single permadeath. Yeah, I don't know about permadeath.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it would.
That's why it's called that.
Maybe if you're an engineer. I wouldn't do that as Ember Mage. Like, you're pretty squishy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's fun. It's, you know, they did not evolve like Diablo did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Diablo 3 is, like, super evolved from Diablo 2, you know? They did a lot of different things.
You gotta wait for Torchlight 3.
Torchlight does not do a lot differently.
I think that's on purpose, though.
It is
kind of
on purpose.
Their philosophy.
Like, they didn't change what wasn't broken. Like,
it is more Torchlight with multiplayer.
Yeah.
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 It's what you wanted in Torchlight 1, just later.
Yeah.
For 20
kind
bucks.
Kind of no surprises at all. So we need to play some co-op and.
Totally.
I tried to get you guys to play
fun.
This weekend.
Right. Bad timing,
man. I got
man.
Shut down.
Bad timing, sorry.
I didn't shut anybody down.
Well, he shut me down, but I texted both of you.
I don't know if I got that. Mm. Fucking Google Voice.
I bet that's your Nexus.
Sometimes
fault.
It loses.
You should have gotten the HTC phone.
No, it's because I'm a cheapskate and I don't want to pay for texts because SMS should not cost money.
I'm with you, but then how do you expect to ever receive texts?
I get Google Voice, but Google Voice isn't quite as 100% reliable as $15 a month SMS.
Yes.
So,
oh, right.
So
yeah, it is more expensive.
I'm still grandfathered in for like $200 a month for $5 or something. So
it's more expensive to send standard text messaging rates from AT&T than it is to send data to the space shuttle
like gigabytes.
And back. Yeah.
You could literally send me a 1 gigabyte like email.
Yeah.
Right? Like a huge ass encrypted like...
movie or something.
Yeah, movie. Yeah. That in the movie, you recorded like a video of yourself saying, "Hey, Josh, do you want to play Torchlight this weekend? Also, here's an hour of a StarCraft stream."
Yeah.
I'm serious. You send that to me for free,
yeah.
and I will
yeah,
get
yeah.
that shit.
Yeah.
And it'll be like guaranteed to
well,
arrive.
Not for free. I mean, you pay for your data, and I pay
no,
for
I have
data.
Infinite data, though.
Right. Yeah. it's pretty great. It's pretty great. It is literally more expensive than like chartered satellite communication and shit. It's crazy. Yeah.
But goddamn, I love it.
And
I love
SMS
texting, man.
Was fucking
it's so useful.
Designed to be free. Like, it doesn't even use any overhead on their systems. It's already using this back channel. Anyway, a little more Dark Souls in my second playthrough. Did I talk about that? My second playthrough is going well. It's fucking rad. I've still gotten to no new content at all. And I am really far. Like, I'm on the final handful of bosses.
You sure you just haven't not, you just missed it? Because you said you missed part of it when you went through the first time.
Yeah, I mean, I did go to Ash Lake, and Ash Lake was in the original game. I just missed it because it's behind an invisible wall.
Well, you have yourself to blame.
Right. This time I got
no
there.
No one could have foreseen that.
I mean, like a visible door or whatever. You know, it's one of those.
Oh, so not door. An invisible wall then.
It's a secret door.
So it's actually the opposite of an invisible wall. It's a visible door.
So you can see it. It's
you can see
it's right
it,
there.
It's a door. It's not a thing that doesn't open. It's a thing that opens.
Well, invisible wall sounds like a wall that's invisible. That's not accurate at
yeah,
all.
Yeah,
that's
what an invisible
that's
wall
what it
is.
Sounds like. What You're it correct. Was a wall that has an invisible door in it.
Oh, right? Okay.
It
all right.
looks like a wall.
So it's not a visible door.
You need.
It's not an invisible wall.
It's an invisible
it's
door.
It's a third thing.
It's a visible wall, invisible door.
Okay.
It's one of those things in Metroid where you need to like shoot all the walls to see how they react. Sometimes in Dark Souls, you need to like slash your weapon against the wall for it to go diggy diggy diggy. Dig,
visible wall, invisible door is my Pink Floyd cover band.
So that game's real fucking good. It's so good, even just all the content I've seen before. It's really fun. And Guild Wars 2 continues to be pretty good indefinitely for with no subscription. So I don't know. Not much else. Cool. What's going on with you this week, Charles?
Not much. Not
and by
much.
That, I mean, Charles, why don't you tell us about your week?
Oh.
Rehosted. I, too, did not do much. I played, you know, a couple more hours of Torchlight 2, as Josh did.
Still playing Engineer?
Yes. Yeah, that's the only thing. I'm on level 20 Engineer. Yeah, it's good times. Big-ass melee class. Big-ass class. Anyway.
Bass.
I played a lot more Mark of the
Bass
Ninja.
Class.
Mark of the Ninja. Have you either of you finished this game?
Nah, I haven't played more than the demo.
Haven't even touched it.
Okay, so I will not spoil anything, but how do I say this? The game is such a good value.
Wait, it's not Way of the Ninja?
Mark.
No, it's Mark.
Mark okay. of the Ninja. Yeah.
It almost sounds like better than Torchlight. Like Torchlight is like no surprises, and this game is like worth talking about.
This game is totally worth talking about. Torchlight is really good. Torchlight 2 is really good. It's just all the same Torchlight that we all played a lot of, you know, whatever, a year, 2 years ago or something. Yeah. This game is brand new. It's nothing. I mean, the game mechanics itself are super satisfying, but nothing incredibly new. No, they're not doing anything that's great. It's just very, very polished and really fun. It's just a fun mechanic. But the game has so much more in it than I was expecting was in it. It's a phenomenal value. If I say anything more than that, it totally spoils why, but it's completely worth, like, I can't think of a game other than, let's see, like puzzle games that you can play infinitely, like Lumines, or like Geometry Wars, which you can play basically infinitely for score attack, that are better values than this game. Such a good value.
So, like Fez,
yeah.
I think what you can say without spoiling is that it is like two games in one. It's like this whole other game that you don't expect when you are first presented it or first play it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So I mentioned that last week.
You mentioned that.
That is true. I'm actually talking about something different than that.
Like even more than that. Going beyond the whole...
There's
like,
an aspect about
second
it
second game is the puzzle game.
Surprised me a lot. I wasn't expecting. Yeah.
Wow.
Even beyond that, there's a whole thing.
Yeah. It's like, not like a whole fundamentally game-shifting thing. But it is just like, oh my god, it's doing this now. Like, wow. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like the Fez thing at the end of the end where you get the glasses?
No. Like I said, it's not a fundamental shift to the game or mechanics or anything. It's just like, oh, holy shit. Anyway, Yeah.
Okay. Well, vaguely put. Yes.
This is going well for this episode.
The game has a mechanic
about vague descriptions.
And you can do things with that mechanic, and at times things happen in response to that.
Ooh. Wow. Who would have thought of that? Interactivity.
Now I'm excited.
So that's all I really did game-wise. I didn't really play anything other than more of those games that I mentioned. Non-game-wise, I finished Number 9 Dream. David Mitchell, I talked about it last week. That book is awesome. It's so good. I watched the season premiere of Dexter. Do you guys watch Dexter?
Mm.
I watched the first two or three seasons, and I was like, yeah, this is good, but
I've never seen it.
Okay. It's a good show, and the season premiere was awesome. And the thing that you have wanted since episode one of season one of that show happens in the cliffhanger ending to season six, the last season, and is going to be paid off throughout this whole season. And the cliffhanger ending to episode one of this season was somehow a bigger, more cliffhanger-y. It actually topped the crazy-ass cliffhanger of the last season, the cliffhanger of this episode. So
it itself was a cliffhanger hanging off of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it was really. It was like if Sylvester Stallone in Cliffhanger was hanging himself. Yeah, Sylvester Stallone was hanging from a copy of the DVD of Cliffhanger off of a cliff.
I was thinking
how much of a cliffhanger
cliff
it was.
He's hanging off of is hanging off of a cliff.
Yes,
but whatever, that works too.
Anyway, that show is. I mean, it's a little rocky.
I'll have to mainline that show at some point.
It's fun to follow. A couple episodes are not great. It's not the greatest show of all time, but it is very. Very snackable, very enjoyable.
Snackable. I like that.
I have to say, season one is pretty outstanding.
Yeah.
Pretty outstanding.
Yeah.
But for some reason, keeping up the whole American, shit ton of episodes for a bajillion seasons, I felt like it was starting to water itself down, and I just didn't need to keep up with it forever. Mm-hmm. In some of those shows like that, I feel like would be better served by imitating the British tendency to do six short episodes and move on.
Yeah.
But then again, sometimes you get six episodes and you're like, Jesus Christ, I want 10 times more than that.
Yeah. So, I think we feel that way about Firefly, right?
Firefly was good, but I don't know if I want 10 more seasons of Firefly.
Not 10 more seasons, but another 12 episodes.
Maybe.
I would have loved another 12 episodes.
Yeah, but at the same point, it's this as it is, it's a perfectly self-contained little, almost, mini-series or something.
Yeah,
that there's value in that.
Would 12 alone. More episodes be, a lot more enjoyable than the one, big-budget feature-length movie that finaled it?
Which... I was going to say, yeah. I bet they could have shot 12 episodes for whatever their, $30 million budget movie.
I don't know,
and
man.
I would have preferred 12 episodes, too.
That movie
just
was
more
pretty
content.
Rad, though.
Yeah.
I thought that was... more than anyone could possibly hope for.
The movie was great. I liked it. I mean...
Please don't destroy my battery charger.
I'm going to destroy it.
Please don't destroy it. Please put it away.
Anyway, watch Dexter. That show's pretty good. And this season is going to be amazing. Obviously, you know the premise. He's a serial killer of serial killers.
Right.
And, of course, the thing that you're hoping will happen through the entire show is that he will get caught by someone for whom it really matters that he gets caught. Right. And that happens, and it's like, oh shit, this season's gonna be sweet.
Okay,
so, totally.
All right.
The only other thing I have to recommend is Jess and I had a date night and
date nights. Yep, those are good.
Sex, guys. Have you heard of it? It's pretty great.
Tell us about this vaguely.
Wait. What do you mean by what is what?
We went to this. We went to this restaurant.
So when a man loves another person.
Uh-huh, very much. That reminds me of something I want to talk about that's
gay stuff.
But
nohomophobes.com?
Yes,
I knew it.
Yeah.
Okay, let me finish
that
talking
site,
about...
wow.
Wait, let me just recommend this restaurant.
Whoa, hey.
And not get into that yet. The Wellington on Washington Street in San Diego, California.
Do they serve beef Wellington?
Beef.
They do. Beefy? They have a signature beef Wellington. But we did not go there for dinner, just for drinks. But that restaurant is so cool. It has six tables in it and a bar with six chairs. And
small.
No windows. super
so it's a
dark.
Basement.
It feels like a total Rat Pack style hangout.
Like
it
a rape cave.
No. Wow. I can't say that it
escalated
feels like
quickly.
A rape cave. Wow.
No windows and the dark. I don't know. Not a lot of chairs.
Movie theaters also have no windows and are dark.
And that screen, you never know what's going to happen on that
nice
screen.
Nice steakhouses are often, you know...
God damn, you brought the show to a screeching. This has been the jerkiest, least smooth episode.
Sorry.
I'm like, hey, there's this restaurant. Josh is like, no, homophobes.com.
Rape
I'm like,
cave.
Hold on. Mike is rape cave all up in this place.
Oh, man. Woo. Trigger warning at the beginning of the episode.
You know, I blame Asura's Wrath. That's what started this. I can't be serious after that.
We got to talk about that,
okay,
too.
Sorry.
So anyway, it's just a cool restaurant. It's a fun place to go. They have live jazz on Tuesday.
There's no rapes there.
If you live in San Diego, you're unlikely to be raped. Just go have a cocktail. Live it up.
Woo.
That's it. So, yeah.
Did it get hot in here?
Oh, sorry. I turned the fan down. I thought it was getting too cold. Oh. Anybody up for some Nelly? All right.
So there's this website called nohomophobes.com.
Yeah.
There are no homophobes there.
What
oh, wait, no,
this?
There's tons.
You found it. How'd you find it?
Actually, Jimmy sent it to me, of course.
You know.
That's a joke that everyone listening to the show will get.
You know how it is.
You know Jimmy. Jimbo.
Jimmy Cakes.
So this website scrapes Twitter and just Twitter, right?
I think Facebook.
Twitter
maybe.
And Facebook.
Just Twitter.
Okay, just Twitter? All right. Oh, that's even more depressing.
For all instances of the phrases so gay, no homo, fag.
And faggot. And separately, faggot. I think.
Yeah, separately. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
there was
just,
there was a fourth one.
That is four.
Fag, faggot.
No. Fag and faggot weren't separate. It was just faggot that was on the top four.
Okay.
It was faggot.
So gay.
No homo, so gay. And there's a fourth
one. Oh, dyke.
And dyke.
Dyke. Okay.
There might have been more that weren't like right on the front page.
Yeah.
Tracked. Like it was obviously tracking other forms of gay and fag and stuff. But faggot was surprisingly high.
Yeah.
Number
it was like 11,000
times. Long
shot. 11,000 times today. When Mike showed it to us at like...
It was like 15,000 when I looked.
Yeah.
So it must have been an hour later.
And I looked at the all-time stats, which start...
It was in the millions.
July 5th. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like 2 million times for...
Just on Twitter.
Just on Twitter.
And it has...
And just for public tweets. That's the thing. It's not counting protected tweets.
Right.
Yeah.
And it has a live Twitter feed of all this. So you can just scroll down a little bit on the page and get... Like
super,
angry at humanity.
Yeah, ruin your day.
Like just ruin your day by watching this live Twitter feed of all this offensiveness.
Yeah. But I think that it is so valuable, actually, that this site exists because really what I love about it is that it publicizes... These are public tweets, and they're all collected in one place, and it's really depressing to go and look at, but I think it's really excellent that they are just... putting it all up in one place, like, here's a whole list of incredibly terrible people just tweeting away. I like that they're making it public, you know? I wish that this could be... I kind of want it to be in Times Square or something. Like, maybe not the full text of the tweet, but just, like, the name and the face of each tweeter of this offensive material, you know?
So you want...
I want the
want
public
some,
shaming
some public
process.
Shaming.
I like that there is a public shaming aspect to it.
Do you think that's a good way to treat people who do offensive things in general?
I think in this case it is. I mean, I haven't thought about it for every offensive action, but I like the idea that it is public and it's sort of like recorded somewhere, and this could potentially be like a resource for HR departments when hiring, right? Like you find out the Twitter handle of the person you're going to hire and you go check it against nohomophobe.com and like, oh shit, that person, you know, has 16 entries. You know, I don't want to hire that person. You know, I like that.
Brutal.
That is pretty brutal. Yeah.
Anyway, screw those people.
All right. Wow. Okay. Need to cut this tension with some funny knives. So you're good? All right. Moving on to me. You're done? You're going to end on that note? Okay. All right.
I didn't do anything else, man. I had a boring week.
So the show dog, Penny. She's actually laying down behind me right now. We went to the Ocean Beach Dog Park last weekend. So we've gone to lots of dog parks since getting a dog. That's kind of a normal thing. We go to dog parks all the time. The Ocean Beach Dog Park is tight. I think this time has cemented
tight, like,
it.
Good or yeah. Tight like crowded?
Both. Huh? But that's good. Okay. Because the more people and the more dogs, the better, you know, because it's more social really? Interaction, more more chances, more opportunities for her to play with other dogs, you know, mm-hmm. and be social and that stuff like that. And, I mean, it's huge. It's like the whole, like, northwest corner of Ocean Beach, you know, where, like, the ocean empties into that little bay.
Does it suck that
part.
You can't have dogs on the regular beach? What's up with that? It's the fucking beach, right?
I don't know. Oddly enough, we're not really big beachgoers, so it doesn't actually never comes
up. But it still
kind
of sucks that you just can't go to the beach with your dog. What's
yeah,
because
especially going to that beach, and it's like
who's mad?
It's
that
like
there's
a normal
a dog
beach.
On the beach.
I maybe the cleanup. It's you know the peeing and the pooping.
Yeah, you should clean up after your dog wherever
well,
it is.
Well,
so.
That's the thing though, is that not everybody does that, and so they want to try to
is
maybe
that
contain
is that the
it a
reason
little.
That there's
I have no idea what the reason is
because that's legit at least a reason that's a reason I don't
yeah. I mean, that's yeah. the reason I would use if, I guess, you know, I was in charge of a beach. Maybe I wouldn't want dogs. Much like I don't want drunken assholes, so maybe I say, you know, no alcohol
or something. I also think
something.
You should be able to drink on the beach.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's a totally subjective opinion. I'm not here to talk about that. I just want to talk about how
yeah,
the
I'm just curious, like,
the Ocean
if
beach
you have any
cool.
thoughts about that. Do you have any thoughts about that, Jeff? How much of a libertarian are you?
Well... yeah, I'm conflicted. I see both points of view.
You know what? Hold on a second. I just realized that this episode needs to be called Hitler's Rape Cave.
Well, put that in the show notes. Remind me of that.
Okay, Jeff, sorry.
We're trying to get more people to listen.
That's true.
I tell you what. Not. I am irritated by dog owners that are not responsible, mm-hmm. right? Similarly to how I, you know, am not appreciative of drinkers that are responsible or smokers that are or you know inconsiderate right mm-hmm. and so I know that it's kind of like a backwards way of dealing with those problems of saying well we'll just eliminate it entirely
right
which does potentially eliminate the problem
right
but it also eliminates the freedom right yeah. So I think that there should be like areas where it's more and less strict mm-hmm. so that you kind of have the best of both worlds and you get to choose which area you prefer, yeah. right? So I don't like the 100% ban on alcohol on San Diego beaches. I liked it better when there were a few where you could and a few where you couldn't, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, so that it was like the dog beach situation.
Yeah, so I kind of like the dog beach situation better than, hey, all dogs are always welcome on every beach.
Dog Beach Situation is my ZZ Top cover band.
And because the reality is if you let all dogs on every beach, there'd be a lot of them without leashes, and there'd be a lot more dog crap all over the beach.
That's true, and you would wish that there was some way to
say, how about this one beach
to like,
where there's
no,
no, no dogs?
To like ghettoize them somehow. How can we do that?
No, what you would want...
Yes, I want dog ghettos.
No, no, no. You're not good enough for regular beach. Get in your ghetto over
no,
there.
What you would
human
want
only areas.
Is a way to know the specific dog owner who is being inconsiderate and not cleaning up after their dog.
Well,
and be able to punish that person
individually. I tell you
individually.
What, there was an episode,
Big Brother style.
I believe, of This American Life uh-huh. that dealt with this company that DNA tests dog poop.
Wow.
There is a company that you can hire to analyze some dog poop that you find and track it to the dog and the owner that it came from.
Well,
right?
How do they track it?
Well, this the story, you know, involved...
You just dart every dog that you see walking by and collect samples from them, too.
And this was a couple years ago, so I'm not entirely clear. But as I recall, it was dealt specifically with this one HOA, mm-hmm. right? Where they got basically DNA samples of all
wow.
these dogs.
And that is some Big Brother shit right there.
Yeah, it might. It's I like don't remember if it was like plates. Everyone agreed or if they, you know, did it as the problem came up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there were some dog poop problems.
Yeah.
And people were lying to the face of the guards or the HOA, you know,
yeah.
representatives that were investigating and stuff until they tracked them down and basically forced them to stop and admit it or whatever. It was a pretty hilarious episode.
And then what did they do?
With once the they, complication. I don't know. We'll find
like,
it.
Like, and, what is the punishment then for something like that, for not cleaning up your dog's poop? Just like a fine
door.
Or something?
You shit on their doorstep?
You just put it like in a bag and then just smear it all over their front door.
You turn off their water and sewer?
So, yeah, in general, I'm pretty much with Josh. I'm perfectly fine with there being designated dog areas. Mm-hmm. Because before I got a dog, I wasn't anti-dog, but I think I was just an average person who would want to go someplace and maybe not be bothered by a dog running around or a dog shitting around or a dog peeing or an aggressive dog barking or you know, looking like it's going to bite me. You know, all the things that people who both have dogs and don't have dogs might worry about. After having a dog, like, I think in general I'm just a little less sensitive to dogs in general. Like, I'm not so like, dogs, wow, mm-hmm. there's always dogs here, you know, because, you know, I'm a little more inside now, but I still am, I'm still with okay with there being designated places. It's almost helpful too, because like you said, if you know where the dogs are going to be, then you can go there and it's easier to like be social in a smaller, more contained area. Cause especially for dogs who are like, you know, a flight risk. Unlike our dog is not a flight risk. You know, she could basically walk anywhere with us off leash, and at this point we have like no fear that she would run away. But lots of people have dogs that do, and they need a boundary, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's really useful and helpful. And like I said, it's just like a meeting place. It's like meeting at a bar. You meet at the dog park, and there's a group of people that we see all the time, and they know us, and we sort of know them, and we know their dogs, and you know, I don't know. It's this own little sub society that we found. You know, much like I'm sure you know having Charlie. You know, you know more people or more places that are kid friendly. Yep. Or like kids, and it's just like that with a dog. So anyway, Ocean Beach Dog Park, really sweet. Penny, for the first time ever, actually went in the water.
Thanks.
This should not be an accomplishment because most dogs are cool with that, but collies are not water dogs, and the fact that she like went as far out into the water, like on a little sandbar where the water was like almost up to her chest, mm-hmm. is huge for her because she does not like getting wet. Although when she gets out of the water and we go further down the beach where the waves start coming in, she still runs away from the waves, even when, you know, it's like half an
Should
inch
I
high.
Do that?
Right. Well,
man, the ocean like is fucking scary. It's like this huge abyss, right?
Have you ever really looked at your hand, man?
Yeah. Did you see this episode?
Yes, I saw the XKCD.
Of XKCD?
Yes.
Where there's a dude clinging to a mailbox.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? He's like, have you looked up recently?
At the never-ending sky
abyss. We're so close
to
falling into the endless abyss of the sky or whatever.
Yeah. And I read that while in my office at work and still looked up at the ceiling for half a second. Even though I can't see the sky, it made me think.
You can't see through ceilings?
I can't. Hmm. Not on Mondays.
No, that's a bummer.
Other stuff happens.
Mondays are the best
ceiling seeing through sky viewing days of them all.
So anyway, we're very proud of our dog because that was really big for her because she normally hates the water.
Baby steps.
So Louis C.K. season 2 just ended. Fucking great finale.
Wait, no.
Loved
it. It's got to be like season 3.
Or season 3. All right, whatever the most recent season is, it's done. And I just saw the finale this morning, and goddamn, the show is so good. Like, fucking every show should be that good, essentially. But
I'm like
it's not
a season behind. That thing turned into like a serious cringe comedy. Man.
Yeah.
The first season, I loved wholeheartedly.
I don't know. It's so different every time, though. It's not always the same
thing,
though.
That's true. It is very
different.
He likes
to do different things.
Yeah.
So yes, there are some cringeworthy stuff, but I don't think this season was as cringeworthy. I'm not sure it's as good as the first season, mainly because that was just like the trend-setting season, and now he's kind of just, you know, expanding, but it's still a great show. I also watched Revolution. I know this is not that new anymore. I think a couple episodes are out now, but not as good as Lost.
Is it good?
Not as good as Lost. That's pretty much all I have to say about it.
I've had it queued and not watched for like weeks and weeks.
You should watch it, but it's not as good as Lost.
I heard it's basically, well, not basically. I heard someone being snide and saying that it is a like a right wing, you know, anti gun control screed, basically. That like the whole point of the early episodes, they're trying to steal a high powered rifle, and everyone with guns is like the government uses their ownership of guns to keep down the man down. And,
I don't know. I don't really think the first episode got into that. It was pretty much like...
Oh, you only watched one episode?
I only watched the pilot. Okay. So, yeah. I don't know about the right wing.
Would you say...
But it's like a Second Amendment, you know.
Would you say that 24 is like a wholehearted endorsement of torture?
Yes. 100%.
Yes. Can I get closer to the mic?
But it's also crazy awesome.
No, man. I had to stop watching that show, too. I watched the first season, and I was like, this is too ridiculous.
Well,
that's exactly why I like watching it, because it just keeps being ridiculous.
Is it possible?
I actually think that show affected U.S. foreign policy. Like, I think that the neocons watched that show, and they're like, I am Jack Bauer. I am, like, fucking Paul Wolfowitz was, like, doing his Jack Bauer wet dream and sending us into wars. Fuck that guy.
So is it possible to have the discussion... of the hypothetical scenario, of
the ticking time bomb,
of a of a terrorist that or a potential like someone holding something hostage with a lot of lives.
It's like
stake.
neo-80s, you know, and, Rambo.
You know, is there,
which was also awesome.
Is it even possible to like depict that situation and show it like, but like both sides, the possible outcome of
can it be depicted? It,
like, yeah, like can it be shown in a film or TV show or whatever that there is a scenario where torturing actually saves a life, and for you to not say that it was like propaganda or whatever?
Yes, I don't believe that Jack Bauer never had any negative consequences from that activity.
I would have to disagree with that in theory. Like,
you
I don't
have to
remember
read between the episodes.
I don't remember every episode ever, but there must be a time where he makes, you know, someone makes the mistake in that show and tortures someone, and it leads to worse consequences than otherwise.
Well, maybe our listeners
can
write in.
You
and
think
tell
there
us.
Is literally never a scenario in that whole show where the torturing is actually the mistake?
I don't know. I haven't, like I said, I've only watched like season one and part of season two, so I don't know at all.
Okay.
Have you watched the whole show?
I watched a lot of it, several seasons, and I wasn't as critical of it at the time, right? In retrospect, I've become a little more critical of it, right? We just laughed our asses off at it when we used to watch it.
It's pretty funny.
You know,
because it's so over the top.
We didn't take it seriously at all after, like, the third kidnapping in the first season.
Right, yeah.
And the 12th nuclear warhead, you know, being held.
Right? So it was just great fun because it's just super ridiculous. But it's like we play games where we bash dudes over the head with a giant wrench repeatedly. It's like... I don't think that's wholehearted endorsement of
wrench
head
bashing.
I think we can also recognize the difference between doing that to
right.
A fake
so I wasn't
goat
I wasn't literally
torchlight.
I wasn't literally
and,
like
the real horned goat monster,
Arab, you know, terrorist, you know, so, ridiculous stereotype guy.
So even after seeing seasons and seasons of 24, I wasn't. I was still like angry at Obama for like. Reversing his position on torture, you know, when he got into office, you know, I'm still pretty anti-torture, basically, right?
Yeah.
But I do think I have heard very intelligent discussion, you know, articles, whatever, on that scenario, like
the ticking time bomb scenario.
Yeah, and if it is ever actually worth or beneficial to society or whatever to allow small instances of torture with
I'm happy to
with
have that
known guilty parties.
Maybe we can do that on another show, but I
it's very
have
difficult.
Many specific thoughts on that.
All right.
But it might be like a half hour
it is
conversation.
A long discussion.
Yeah.
Anyway, I
let's
assume
save, let's table that one for
I
now.
Would like to give 24 the benefit of the doubt,
or I'll
but
the
I will
shit out
research
of you.
It and try to find examples.
Yeah, listeners, if you happen to
whoa,
know
whoa,
if
whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you just use the R word? On the Escort Mission podcast?
Well, it's only no research during the show.
All right, is that the official rule?
Yeah,
you can do any research. All
you
right.
Can research when it's not when we're
don't
not
even look
broadcast.
At your phone. I don't want to see your Google search history with no. That's not how we do things around here. All right.
It is an interesting question. Can you depict it? I think that it could be depicted. From what I watched of it and the general understanding I have of that show is I don't believe that 24 did an accurate depiction of at really what the kind of coercive interrogation techniques that are supposedly effective are, right? Those do exist, and generally it's more about getting people to trust you over a very long period of time and, you know, feeding, you know, mostly true but partly false information and like psychological techniques. Anyway.
And not rooms of pain, which was their general MO.
Right, but they've got 24 hours to work with here.
Yeah, dude, sometimes, you got to cut them some slack.
Sometimes they have 20.
Sometimes there are 12 nuclear bombs and you only have 24
sometimes
hours.
Sometimes they have 10 minutes to work with, you know? That's the whole show, is it's giving you the shortest amount of time to work with possible,
right,
with the worst possible case scenario.
Yeah.
And what do you do in that situation?
Right.
Yeah, what would you, Charles? What would you do?
Jack Bauer has
you
had
shoot
like
dudes in kneecaps.
The six worst days of anyone's life.
Yes. Okay, so some other stuff that I've been doing. I also have not been playing many games. I will say, though, I kicked my Sims Simpson F2P habit. Mm-hmm. That shit is off the iPad. I'm done.
Did you say Simpsons?
There was also a Simpsons F2P, yeah.
What? You were playing a Simpsons F2P also?
Yep, I was.
Dude, do you
mentioned
the show with us?
I mentioned it.
Ah, I find that faintly familiar.
Yeah. Anyway, I they're gone. I'm done with that shit. And instead, I've taken up meth.
I thought you were going to say Tiny Tower. Meth is even better.
No. So there were some old games on the iPhone that I've tried to play but never really got too much into that I'm now playing them on the iPad, and they're so much more fun. I never really thought that before I had the iPad that getting the iPad would make playing certain games so much better that I would actually want to play them solely because I could now play them on the iPad.
Bigger is better.
And stuff like Puzzle Quest 2, which I never really got that far into, and this other like old school RPG called Dragon Fantasy that I've mentioned before, they're so much more fun to play on the iPad than they are on the iPhone. I don't know why. It's just, I don't know.
It's bigger and better.
Is that it? Is that really the only reason? It's just more space?
Remember when we had the long...
That can make a game a lot better.
That extra row on the iPhone 5, that is 20% more fun.
Remember when we had the long argument about the intended format of presentation?
Yeah.
About, like, listening to music that was made for radio on better or worse headphones or speakers,
mm-hmm,
or watching a movie or show on, like, a tiny phone versus in a theater,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. And you were like... Yeah, all my favorite media are designed to work on every level. You know,
well, at least be passable.
Like
on
you're
every
saying
level.
That.
Well, that's the thing; they're passable on
like
the iPhone.
Good media needs to be passable on via every presentation.
Ideally,
possible.
Ideally, yes.
Yeah,
I still believe that.
And I was saying that, like, I still appreciate ones that are specifically directed or required to be presented via one specific method.
Right, but neither of the games I mentioned were necessarily made for the iPad. They're universal, so they scale, but I played...
Wait, are they doing just the 2X scaling thing?
No.
So they were programmed for the iPad.
Right, they look good on the iPad. Like, the graphics they used work
on the both. Developers made up-res graphics and whatever, yeah.
Right, so it's not that they made it specifically for only the iPad, and I was playing, like, a shittier version on the iPhone. Like, it was made to work on both of them, but... They're much more enjoyable on the iPad. So, surprise, surprise.
Super cool.
Okay, so this other game that I had saved for a while that I had just recently checked out, it's called Evoland, and it was done by one dude for the Ludum Dare thing. It's like a weekend hacking project, like make a game in a 48 hours kind of a thing.
Yep.
The 24th one, this guy made this game called Evoland that was really, really interesting.
Is this iOS? PC?
It's not iOS. I played it on PC. I played it, I think, actually as Flash. But what's interesting about it is it was actually programmed in this language called Haxe, or Hax, H-A-X-E. And I've actually been getting into personal coding development again, so it really interested me to actually look up. It's like an open source free programming language that you can actually use to write to many different platforms, like to C and PHP and Flash and JavaScript. So you basically write once and you can actually like export it to all of these different platforms, which sounds insane.
Weird.
So this game was written in that. I mean, if you look at it and you didn't know, you would just think, oh, it's Flash. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's simplistic and kind of, you know, looks like a Flash game. And
so
I played
it
as Flash.
Code it in this language and then it'll play as Flash?
Yeah. Like it. You can export
like
it. You can compile it to There's a compiler, and you write it, and you can compile it to like a PHP file, and then load it on a web server. You can write it to a JavaScript file and load it on a web browser.
There must be a new word for this thing. It doesn't sound like a compiler. It doesn't sound like an interpreter.
It's like a metapiler.
It's like it's
really cool.
It needs a new word.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, we're not going with metapiler. I'm pretty proud of that one.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to say too much about it because I haven't really gotten into it, but I thought it was really interesting. The game itself is also really interesting. So you start out and you only have like, it's like black and white graphics, although I think it's more like green and darker green, like Game Boy-ish kind of colors, and you can only move right. So you move right and you get a treasure chest and a little like, you know, thing pops up saying, oh, you just got the ability to go left, and then you go left, and you get another treasure chest, and like now you get the ability to move up and down, and like
spoilers,
the map expands to the ability to do that, and then you move a little, you know, it's like an overhead, you know, 2D like, you know, old school RPG looking graphics.
Sounds like Zelda.
And then you get another treasure chest, and now it's 16 color graphics, and you get the idea. Like, you keep finding treasure chests, and it keeps adding, like, every element, like, to an old-school 2D top-down, you know, RPG that you could get. And there's, like, you know, I'd say, like, a good 20, 25 treasure chests you can get that unlock, like, more and more and more abilities and make it a better and better and better game. So it's almost like a history of that game type. Plus, you're playing that game as it happens. And there's, you know, some secrets you can find. And you know, you could probably play through the whole thing in like 10 minutes. So it's not super deep. But
cool.
It was a really sweet idea. And the fact that that guy made it in like a weekend is really amazing. Because that's like, you know, a pretty interesting idea that there's a lot of games out that don't even reach that kind of interesting when I game, you know, in months. So anyway, highly recommend it. Free. Check it out.
That's cool. The beginning sounds almost exactly like DLC quest, but then it totally diverged from there.
Right. It's similar to that, except more historical, less humorous. The only other game I played was on Xbox Live Arcade, Double Dragon Neo. Speaking of like going back to like, you know, 80s action star kind of, you know, stereotypes, this is the Double Dragon you know and maybe you loved. I don't know if you guys played that back in the day. Like the original Double Dragon for Nintendo.
Who didn't?
Yeah, I play this.
Okay. So this is that, except like with the 80s sweet radical gnarly like knob turned to 27,000. Like it's totally redone graphics, 3D, you know.
It's 3D?
Well, it's not 3D, but it's like 3D polygonal, you know, avatars that are on a, you know, sort of like the Unreal Engine like 2.5D or something. It's not sprites. It's actually like models.
Yeah, so it is 3D.
Right. Well, except you really mainly play it on a 2D, like left and right.
It's 2D gameplay, but it's a rendered 3D.
Yes. Yeah, rendered 3D, played on a 2D landscape. So, but it's, you know, basically that game that you played, except with all that turned crazy high, you know. This is totally radical, oh my god, you know. It's a
like
bit
Scott
much.
Pilgrim?
Yes, how tongue-in-cheek?
Oh no, it's incredibly tongue-in-cheek, yeah. Acceptably. It doesn't take itself seriously at all, no. And it has a you know, bitchin' soundtrack by Jake Kaufman, otherwise known as Vert, who's, if you know video game soundtracks, like he's like up there with Jeremy Soule, basically. Like he does tons of projects, and so that's really good. And but it's Double Dragon,
super double uber dragon. Wow, yeah, what's it called?
It's called Double Dragon Neo.
Double Dragon Neo.
But if you like Double Dragon and you want to play it on Xbox Live and you want the crazy 80s awesome radical batitude turned to 27,000,
so did you play some Scott Pilgrim?
Oh, yeah, I played through that a couple times through. I love
that
game.
Is the gameplay kind of like that?
I would say it's not as good because, I mean, you do power up.
Which is not as good.
Double Dragon.
Okay.
It's still a little too stripped down, a little too basic.
Yeah.
You do get power-ups. I only played the demo, so I don't know. Maybe you get, you know, way more complicated, like, combos and moves, but, you know, I just got through the demo, so. Anyway, I thought that was still kind of fun. And also, personally, the reason why I haven't been playing any games is because I've been back to doing music.
What a waste of time.
Yeah, I'm actually working, hopefully for the last time ever, on this project I've been working on for like basically 10 years off and on. It's the first real orchestral thing I've ever written. I usually do like more kind of like electronica or guitar band based stuff. I don't usually do, you know, like classical stuff that, you know, real music that old people like to listen to and cool young people. but I'm actually working by the end of the year. My goal is to have this piece of music working with playable sheet music that an orchestra can play. And I've even contacted someone through another composer, a friend of mine, who is the director of like a local union of musicians that have an application process for, you know, amateur scores that, you know, if accepted, you know, I think you can hire them to basically play your piece, like people who know what they're doing, and record it with like a real engineer and, you know, get like the real deal as professional as it possibly could be, way more than I would ever be able to do myself, because obviously I can't play 10 instruments at once, mm-hmm. or even any of those very well. So I'm actually really pumped about this, because I've been trying to do something like this for a long time, and I'm actually making inroads.
Obviously, I can't play 10 instruments at once.
I did say that, yes. Yeah. Is that
not
obvious?
I don't think anybody would be expecting you to do that. Like, right. Even if you're going to do it all yourself, I bet they would expect you'd play them one at a time.
Well, at least five.
Sort of sequencing in one arm with software.
Right. But that's the thing. That's all I've ever done with this is sequencing software.
That would require some kind of recording implement.
Like a computer, if you will.
Right, because right now I'm just doing that. We're doing this show on wax cylinder, so.
And Mike is doing all the voices at once. Right,
I know. I sound like my friends. I'm pretty good. Anyway,
but you're using samples for now with like
right.
you know, fake strings.
That's the thing. That's all I've ever done, and it never sounds as good as a real orchestra. Sure. The whole ideal to be legit is to actually have real people play your music, and that's what I aim to do with this.
Cool.
Like I've worked on it enough that I think it's good enough to actually have people play it.
Cool.
So. Let's hope they agree, because I'm pretty nervous about this. I've never tried to shop it for real to someone, so we'll see.
Maybe you could shop it for free to like some online volunteers. Do the free labor thing. Like,
yeah.
Who
like
did we
Amanda
talk
Palmer.
About last week yeah. that did that?
Amanda Palmer.
I don't know. I think paying people to play it is more likely than getting people to do it for free. I think that's probably what's going
to
happen.
Yeah,
there.
You can get people to do stuff for free if you have
clout.
10,000 listeners.
My clout score is zero because I don't have an account. So
your clout score is something.
Ooh.
It's immeasurable.
It's immeasurable.
The other way to get shit for free is to go to students.
Right. That would require me to know a lot more students than I know, and that might be creepy now that I'm 31. I'm not sure I can just go troll colleges for
students.
You
could go befriend a student union or something.
Yeah, I could. I actually thought about going local because this place that I contacted was actually in L.A. because that's where my friend is. But I don't know. I don't have any experience doing this, so I'm going down the I'm using his name as clout to say, hey, you should pay attention to me, random email person in the internet, because you know this other person. So we'll see. And the video game project that I'm working on, that I'm doing the soundtrack on, I'm also working on that still. I actually have some ideas going. I haven't really done much of that lately, so maybe that will also be a good thing.
You haven't done much of having ideas lately?
I haven't. I have some ideas now.
Sweet.
And I've recorded some of them. And let's hope that goes somewhere, because that might actually be a commercial game. I don't know. We'll see. The one I did before, Impulse, I was merely a contributor.
Uh-huh.
Was not the sole composer, and that was for free.
Yeah.
And I don't think it got popular because no one has ever contacted me about it independently. But we'll see about this one.
Yeah,
so.
That's how it works.
Yep. And cool. Yeah, so that I've been basically working on that and not playing games. So I'll try to play more games this week so we actually can
work.
Talk about games. So speaking of games, before we get to that, though, yes, we must do the station ID thing.
Station ID.
We are the Escort Mission.
Shotgun noise.
We are that thing. Weenie in the butt. On the radio.
Get down to the Best Buy.
Oh, God. Anyway, so we're the Escort Mission Podcast. You've been listening to us.
Doing a sticker stop.
That's what's happening.
Give us the phrase that pays.
The 805. Oh, it's so busy. You're not getting home for 20 minutes, peeps. Escortmission.com. Send us email at mail@theescortmission.com. We're also on Google Plus and Facebook and Twitter and those social places that you know. Go there and know us and like us and friend us and plus us and do unspeakably nice things to us. Leave comments on iTunes, because that's how Apple knows who we are.
Tell friends about the show.
Spoiler alert, they don't know who we are yet. yeah. Okay, so main topic. We have main topic, right?
Buy things on Amazon.
Totally.
And buy things on Amazon, yeah.
Through our link.
Give us money. indirectly, but not actually giving us money. This is getting going too low. I need to raise this. So
he's talking about his mic stand, people. Mic stand.
Woo! Okay, much better. Sorry, guys, I'm making you all uncomfortable.
You've done that a lot this episode.
Raising that up.
Rick Cave.
Yeah, we can blame this whole thing on you. Yeah.
No, this is our best episode ever, is what you mean to say, supportive friends.
I don't know about best, but I do know that it's definitely the smoothest.
Yes. This is slick. This is what 22 episodes of slick experience production do. Okay. So
we don't call the show buttery, not stuttery for nothing.
Nuttery, not sluttery. Chaz, so you brought up our main topic, so I want you to
wait, do we want to talk about Asura's Wrath first?
Ooh.
Yes, we do.
That's
Let's
our finale.
Okay. Oh, wait. That's our finale? That's yeah. our finale. Yeah, we need to end the show with that because that's too awesome.
Okay.
We played a game and we're going to talk about it. But first, we're going to do our main topic. Chaz, yeah. Take it away.
I just brought up the idea, you know, we are going to have a new console within a couple months at this point.
Oh, you mean the Wii U.
Yeah.
Sorry. Spoiler alert. Yes.
I don't think it's a spoiler. If it is a spoiler, then Nintendo PR did a bad job.
They leaked it all over everything.
Such a terrible job. If that's a spoiler for you. Anyway, we're going to have a new console here pretty soon, the Wii U. We are also going to
None of us are
going
to have it, though.
None of us will buy that.
It is going to exist.
Nope.
And there are two new consoles, presumably in heavy development. I think there have been rumors of 720 or Project Durango or whatever they're calling it.
There's been some leakage.
Xbox dev kits being out in the wild.
Yeah.
PS4 yep. clearly is going on. So I thought, you know, we should talk about the console future as we see it, as we expect to see it, what we're looking forward to, what we hope does and doesn't happen. You know?
So my first question is, I mean, are the current consoles dead to you? Like, are they like sputtering?
Dead to me.
Are they sputtering on fumes, or are they still? Because to me, I think they're still awesome.
Well, I think this is the so there's a couple things. This is always the best time in a console's life is right at the end because the developers know everything there is to know about it. They know how to wring every ounce of horsepower out of the consoles and games.
Every red
ring. Absolutely. this is the time in the Saturn's life cycle where they were starting to use the sound chip to render additional graphics and like feed that back into, like, they did some crazy shit with that console. Like, they learn all the tricks at this point. So that's one side of it. But this is also the point where PC is totally ascendant, and PC graphics right now relative to console graphics are ridiculous. They're just so much better. If you see side-by-side shots of like Borderlands 2 on console versus PC, it's night and day. And that's a game that is stylized, right, and sort of cel-shaded-ish and designed to look good on anything, and it looks a lot better on PC because they have the horsepower to do a bunch of particle effects and have all this, you know, physics modeling happening, and they just pull that stuff out. You know, Skyrim's another one. It looked a lot better on PC than on console.
And even besides just how it looked, it had serious performance issues on consoles.
Which? Skyrim?
Yeah, Skyrim. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On particularly PS3, it had the crazy load times, the super lag. The lag in the frame rate would really literally chug to less than 5 frames a second when you were like walking around the world, when your save game file was big, and when you'd been playing for a while and done specific things, it just got...
Like, didn't save it out to the hard drive, it was buffering the whole thing.
Yeah, it was theoretically buggy.
It's like paging.
Except they never fixed the bugs, because it was just too hard to...
Probably couldn't afford the certification.
They kind of just powered through those bugs in the PC version or something. Yeah, so shit looks phenomenal on PC if you have decent...
PC looks amazing.
Recent PC hardware. What's the Hong Kong game I just raved about? Sleeping Dogs looked fucking great on my computer, on my TV with my Xbox controller, which I call like my new Xbox. My PC is plugged into the TV with my Xbox controller is where I'm getting everything now instead of consoles, because it just looks better and because I have the hardware. Now, not everybody has the hardware, so not everybody like has the same awareness of the lagging behind of the consoles, right? If you only have the consoles and you don't have a sweet new PC, then you're like, yeah, my consoles are still great, aren't they? You know, all the games are coming out on them. And it's true, like, all the games are coming out except MMOs and mouse clicker Torchlight type, Diablo type games.
Yeah. Except Torchlight is on Xbox Live.
And StarCraft. And
Torchlight 2 isn't, but
MOBAs.
Well, not yet.
Assumingly, yeah.
It could still go.
It eventually, we can assume it.
But although we've made clear that it doesn't really need to.
I don't think it will. You think could just Torchlight, play Torchlight will come out on
Torchlight
console?
1 did.
It did?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, like a year
I
and a half
it.
Or
I
2 years
it.
Later.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay. I think those games play better with controllers. I don't like the mouse clicking as much as the controller playing. Yeah.
You can play Torchlight 2 with a controller on PC, right?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Not really.
What?
Wait, not really? What does
it
that mean?
It doesn't have
controller
support?
You mean you need to use the X-Pad or kind of, like, hack shit?
Yeah, which is not really doable for that kind of game.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work. Yet it worked on Xbox Live for Torchlight 1.
That's because they designed it.
They did a specific build for Xbox. I didn't even realize that had happened, but it sounds like that.
Yeah, because that was one of the things I first tried to do when I loaded up Torchlight 2 was play with a controller, and there didn't seem to be any native support.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck? And then I tried clicking, and this is like less good clicking.
Right.
Why would they do that, though?
Because they're dicks.
Oh.
They hate Josh.
This is
and me.
This is the whole me versus the internet thing, like endless debate.
No, come on. There are clearly many people who support you.
I swear to
God.
You're
not the only one.
No, I just supported you. I want a controller.
Ever since I've been plugging, like, a SNES controller into a PC with a USB adapter or whatever I originally did, or used shitty old PC controllers. Like, I've wanted games to support controllers, or ever since I plugged a computer into a TV, you know? And whenever you go to threads for game, I swear to God, like, it's like, what's the phrase? It's like T-minus 5 posts or something. Like, every time I look for support for controllers in a new game, and I find a thread of people talking about it and, you know, with information about whether it's supported or not, like 5 posts down or less, there's going to be somebody saying, like, you're an idiot. Why would you ever play this game on a PC or with a controller on a PC? Like, the mouse is a million times better. Like, it's so painful.
There are games for which that's true, right? But a game like Torchlight definitely is not
like an RTS. Obviously.
An RTS, obviously, of an FPS, obviously.
So, like you're saying, obviously, like, that's what they say. They say, obviously, for every game that I want to play with a controller. Right?
Well, there are games for which obviously is true, and there are definitely games for which it is not.
I disagree. Like, I've been playing MMOs and dungeon crawlers with controllers for years.
And those would not be in the obviously camp.
Well, the internet will disagree with you.
RTS is a fucking obvious.
The internet will disagree with you.
It is goddamn obvious that you can't play StarCraft with a controller.
Is, like, you will be outnumbered 99-1 if you try to post on a World of Warcraft thread.
Really? 99-1?
On a World of Warcraft thread,
you
will be outnumbered 99-1 people saying, how could you possibly play this game with a controller and compete at all?
Yeah.
And I used to dominate fools in PvP. In World of Warcraft,
Josh,
using my
the
controller,
fool dominator.
And nobody would believe that, and I, you know, everyone on threads would disagree with that, right? I used to raid in Rift as a healer with a controller, and I didn't let anyone that I was playing with know. No one knew because I would be the laughing stock of the whole game if I admitted it. I probably would have been kicked out of my guild.
That's so insane. Okay, speaking of which, I just wanted
to
mention...
You gotta keep your controller behind an invisible wall.
Command & Conquer 4 came out for Xbox 360 or
StarCraft
Xbox Live.
StarCraft came out for N64.
But with a controller, and it sucks. I don't know why they did that.
N64 had one analog stick.
I don't know why anybody thought that was a good idea.
Yeah,
it's not good anyway.
I know, unbelievable.
But they tried. I'm just saying, they tried. They thought it could be done. I don't think it should have.
There is a group who does a charity N64 StarCraft tournament every year along the lines of those, like, Penny Arcade, like, Desert Bus Marathon.
But it's written for the controller, right? Like, it's not just, you know.
The N64 StarCraft.
Does it work?
A mouse cursor that you move around with the analog
stick.
Oh, God,
no,
like,
no,
it's
no.
Abysmal.
No.
It's as if you were playing StarCraft, but with a mouse. You're driving the mouse, and you box. You, like, go up, and you hold a button, and then you box, and you let go, and you've selected units. And it's, like, literally they just map, left and right click and the keypad.
That was, like, those old, you know, like, Shadowgate and Deja Vu, those old graphic adventures for the Nintendo where you just had a cursor that you moved with the D-pad. Yeah. And I'm like, no, that's not how you do that.
That's the worst idea ever.
Right. Oh. Anyway. Wait, what were we talking about?
It doesn't have to be the worst idea ever. You know, a game like Greed Corp, or like a hex-based game, or Civilization Revolution.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, were phenomenal on consoles, right? You move the stick around, and it's essentially a mouse cursor, except it isn't. It's designed more specifically
for it.
But those
are turn-based, right?
Your controller snap. It didn't have to be. It could be timed. Your cursor like snaps the things instead of actually just being this very low budget mouse cursor port.
Right.
Right. It's not innately bad. Right. It's not innately inferior. Like, it can be used and can be good.
You could make a specific
for
game.
Almost any type of game.
Right. Yes. For a type of game, for a game that's made specifically to do it, you wouldn't be able to compete. There are games for which you wouldn't be able to compete. Like, if they did they did do PC ports of Halo, did they not? Like, you would not be competitive with an FPS player playing with mouse and keyboard if you were on a controller and you were both at the highest level that you could reach, right?
So, the Move controller on PS3, supposedly you can be very, very competitive against mouse players.
Interesting.
With. Because it has this analog input of you, like, tilting it and moving it up and down very, very precisely.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard reports.
What you're doing with the mouse, right?
I don't know how true it is, because I don't know anybody that like is super good at that. But I have played with one a little bit, and it's believable enough that when FPS developers were using the Move at first, doing in-house testing and stuff, that their Move players were competitive with mouse players mm-hmm. and could defeat them.
That's cool. But
that isn't regular analog sticks.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. So, anyway.
So the future
analog
of consoles.
Sticks. Yeah, future consoles, exactly. What do you want to see? What do you guys want to see? I'll start off with something that I want to see. I want to see the option to download anything. I want not
that's
necessarily...
kind of a given.
Not
yes.
only
yeah,
downloads, but everything is at least available as a download.
Yeah.
For next console, you think that's
I agree. That's like an absolute given. Like, if that's not...
It's like an app store.
If that's not an option, then that's...
It doesn't already exist.
Well, no, but I mean, like, on iOS, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about an app store.
Yeah, I want that for Xbox.
Right. Okay, well, yeah, and that seems totally doable.
And not
just... It seems doable. I'm saying, I want to see that. I hope that...
Not most of them.
Right.
And not...
Right now, it's a very limited selection.
Yeah. Not months later.
Yeah, like immediately.
Like, we want them all day and date.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like, supposedly the Vita has promised.
Mm-hmm.
Right? On the Vita, everything is supposed to be in the market, like, the same day it comes to stores.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, even beyond that, we might want to make some further demands, like we want the same type of sales.
Right. Which
right?
is less likely to happen.
Which is not likely to happen at all.
Because though Sony and Nintendo seem impossible, or seem totally incapable of like looking at Steam
and doing what Steam
like,
does,
noticing the pile of money that's showing up in Steam headquarters, Seattle.
Well, I forgot. I think it was EA that was the one that said that Valve is devaluing their titles by doing it.
Right.
But has Microsoft or Sony ever said anything of that nature? Because they must just have a different philosophy. Because we know Nintendo has a very different philosophy and strategy.
Sale.
So, like, I think they just don't think that's the way gaming should be or something.
I feel like this is almost a political debate.
Yeah.
It's like they're arguing Reagan trickle-down economics,
right. Yeah.
You know, versus the opposite. They're basically like, what Valve is doing couldn't possibly make them money. They're giving away their product.
Right.
And they're devaluing it.
Right.
Yeah. And yet Valve is making money hand over fist. They're right. selling like millions of more copies of games than they would have otherwise sold. I literally have like 50 games I've bought through Steam that I've never even downloaded.
See, but...
right?
And,
yeah.
Okay, but I think a strong counterpoint, though, is I think to a certain extent, you have devalued games without even knowing it by dint of that very statement. You buy games as if they were, like, not individual little gems just because, oh, it's cheap. Well, I might play it someday, but most likely you never will.
But you say devalued.
You know?
But the question is, devalued to whom? To Josh's personal enjoyment of the game? Like, if the developer was going to get, in one scenario, no money from Josh, and in the other scenario, some money from Josh... then it's infinitely more valuable.
No, no, no.
Immeasurably.
No, and I think when they say devalue, I think it's much more of a... I mean, it's kind of pretentious, but it's much more of like,
I don't think that's the argument they're making. I know what you mean.
Okay, well, that's the argument I'm making then. If they're not making it, that's how I see it.
Because, like, when whoever it was who said, was it when EA said they're devaluing the games, I think they were making a financial argument. Like, I think they were saying,
I don't know,
they're losing money by doing it. That was their point. Right.
I just, how could they be that blind, though? Like, how could they really believe that?
You're having a deleterious effect on the enjoyment you can derive from a video game. I don't think they were making, like, a philosophical argument.
Right, well,
like that.
And I know, but I think that is an important point, that, okay, if no one else is making but me, then I'm making that point now that, you know, I've made this point before that I feel like there's almost too much entertainment. Like, it's impossible to, you know, like that guy who's trying to play every Steam game, mm-hmm. which is insane. Like, no, he'll never be able to do that in a million years, you know, because there are too many games. And the fact that there are so many games, I mean, sure, you could just move this, oh, there's too many books, Mike, so books are useless. Like, and
I could say that.
Right, you could say, and that's the counter argument to my argument. But I'm not going to make a blanket statement across all entertainment, mm-hmm. but games in general, because that's something I actually do play and enjoy, and I don't really read books that much, so I can't speak for that. That Josh saying something like, I've bought 50 games, or I have 50 games that I have never even downloaded, and I know most likely you probably will never play them all. So you have definitely bought games for the sake of either it was on sale and you can't turn down a sale. You had some mild interest in it, maybe in some world, in some reality that may never be realized, or you just like the idea of feeding money into the industry because you want it to persist.
Well, I just don't have enough time to get to them all.
Right. And but, you know, and then I would say, well, then don't buy them. Like, why buy a bunch of stuff? You know, you're hoarding. It's like, you're buying it because it's there. You're not buying it because you actually give a shit about it. And that is the sort of emotional, philosophical, metaphysical devaluing that I'm talking about. Like, back 20 years ago, when I bought Final Fantasy II for $80, and that was the only game I had and the only game I played for 3 months because, A, it was fucking expensive, and two, you know, I couldn't afford any others. But I think I valued that game way more knowing it cost that much and I couldn't afford any others and it was the only one I could play at the time. Whereas now, yeah, I can buy 20 games for $80. Each individual game I don't give a shit as much about, mainly because it's so fucking easy to get them. It is devaluing each individual game. I'm paying less attention. I'm caring less about each individual game. The more there are and the less they cost and the easier they are to get.
So I would simply I'd push back a little bit on one point, which is that I think that really expensive games and only being able to buy, like, afford one NES game per Christmas season or whatever led to a lot of people really, really loving and defending to the hilt games that were complete shit, that were just total bullshit, terrible games because it was their one game and they literally didn't know any better. And then they go back 10 years later and they're like, oh yeah, that game that I love so much was actually terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, so just stuff
that's possible,
being expensive doesn't necessarily mean, you know, I think that, I don't know, Josh, you can, he's talking mostly about you.
No, lots of people do this. People on Reddit post, oh, I've got 100 million games. I'm never going to play them all.
We're talking about Josh's.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Josh. Yeah. This is your fault.
I can easily explain this with a couple examples, right? Okay. You know, Dark Souls, I played on the console and loved it. And the game is so good. As soon as it came out on PC, I paid $40 for it again on PC just to play it again and to support the developer. I love them. I want them to make another one. I want to give them money, right? I want them to continue to succeed, right? And I paid a lot for it, and I spent a lot of hours in it. But another example that's the opposite. We barely spent any money at all on Minecraft, right? Mm-hmm. We got it when it was like alpha, and it was like $9 or something, yep. Right? And we have spent fucking hours and hours and hours and hours and hours playing Minecraft. And if the logic that if something is cheap or on sale or whatever, you know, we should value it less, then we shouldn't have played Minecraft as many hours as we did.
Yeah, I'm not making the point that we should value it less. I'm just saying that through my own experience, I am valuing it less.
So the comparison to childhood or whatever is a little different. I mean, when the only thing you have to eat is crackers, you know, you're going to eat a shit ton of crackers and you're going to survive, right? And you're going to be okay with crackers, right?
Bread or you're going to fucking hate crackers
or bread or whatever, right? So if the only thing you can afford is one $60 game and you're going to play the shit out of it, not because it's the best game in the world, but because it's the only game you have, you know? And so in, you know, the gluttonous, like, I have more than 50 games I haven't even played on Steam situation, where I have more games than I have time because I am a human adult with a job, which is basically anyone that has a job and can pay the rent and such and still has anything left over for entertainment can afford like a bajillion Steam games easily, right? Then it comes down to what you actually find engaging. And, you know, sometimes I'll find myself playing something that's free that I didn't even buy on Steam, you know, just because it's really engaging. And it's completely arbitrary to me whether I paid a lot of money for something or not, except in the scenario when I feel like I've, like, invested a huge amount of money in something and I feel obligated to play it even though it's bad. But I don't think that's a good situation. I think that's, like, I shouldn't feel obligated to play it. I should be able to, like, buy a $60 game, play the first hour, and go, yeah, this sucks. I'm not going to waste any more of my time with it. It's too bad I wasted the $60, but I'm not gonna have more fun moving on to a free game rather than throwing away the next 20 hours of my time into this game that I don't enjoy. And I do that. I've bought games and dropped them a couple hours in that I paid $60 for, you know, and moved back to free games or $9 games. You know, it's like, I don't have enough time, but I do. And I didn't buy every one of those Steam games just because they were on sale and I have a, you know, crippling compulsion, right?
I know, like, a lot of people do, though.
I got them because, like, a little bit because they were on sale, but also a little bit because I wanted to support them, you know? Like, it's like, oh, that looks good. I heard that's good. It, you know, that looks like something I want to support. I'm not sure if I have time for it, but it's on a crazy sale. I might as well give them a dollar for it or whatever, right? And if I ever did have time to get to it, then I have even more options of things to get to.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to argue that having a lot of choice and low prices is bad for consumers.
I don't know. Right? There was a really good TED Talk where this guy, I forget what his name was, gave like this example of how, you know, he had this pair of jeans forever and it was great. And then they finally ripped and he had to go to the store, you know, 5 years later. And instead of having that one pair of jeans that he loved, now they have like 60 pairs of jeans. And he basically is crippled with the choice.
Paradox of abundance.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's, you know, I've mentioned this many times before. I feel that.
That's like his psychological problem, though.
Well, but I don't think it's just his. I don't think he's just crazy. I think this is a real issue that a lot of people can face and I face. And it's a problem.
But you still play games that you love, do you not?
Yeah, but I also don't buy nearly as many games as maybe you think I do. I don't know. I buy very few games.
Are you saying you buy fewer games than you would if there weren't sales? Like, if there weren't sales, you would buy more games?
No, I don't think sales necessarily push my buying habits. I don't think it really has an effect on me. But I know it does on a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, I'm not saying, like, the state of the industry is horrible. It's just, it's a very different place now than it was 20 years ago, like when all I had was a Super Nintendo, you know, like there are a lot of options. There's a lot of choice and choice is not bad.
You know
what
I think?
But it can be crippling.
I think you feel the pain to play armchair psychiatrist. Does that make sense? It's armchair quarterback.
Yeah.
To play Monday morning psychiatrist. I feel like you are describing the pain of the opportunity cost of having so much choice. You're like, I think it's like when you don't know how to stat up in a game like Torchlight, and so you save all your level stats, right? Until, you know, you have that little, like, you've gained a level icon, and you're in the upper left-hand corner of the game the whole game because you don't know how you should allocate your stats and what direction to go to, and you want to be sure you do it right. So you're feeling that about the games. Like, there's such a choice of games out there that, like, you pick one, but you always feel a nagging suspicion that there's, like, an opportunity cost to the money and time you invest in that game.
And
that there might have been another better game.
And it's not just my own psychological thinking. Like, advertising and marketing, and even you guys, to a certain extent, like, have a... There's this always this, like, never-ending... there's a new game coming out. There's a new gaming coming out. There's a new bundle of 12 games that are only $5, Mike. Why aren't you buying this immediately and playing them all right now? And obviously, I'm being extreme, but you know, that's where that thinking goes, where there's just always a new thing to play. And so each new thing is worth less to me in this emotional thing. Like, it doesn't matter if I don't play that new game you just told me about 30 minutes ago, because in 31 minutes, there's going to be another game. So how can I give a shit about that game at 30 minutes? I tend not to.
Yeah, but the another game is going to be $60. And the one that, you know, from 30 minutes ago is now on sale.
But right, but once again, it doesn't matter, because even if I completely ignore you for a week, there'll be 38 other games to play that are coming out at that instant. There's always new games.
Oh my god!
Like,
oh my god, life sucks. Never play a game.
Well, no,
again.
But that unfortunately that's the slippery slope mentality that it goes.
And nobody's happy.
Right, right. It's just I don't need more games. I don't need more games.
Just go play more Minecraft.
I'm good.
Just go.
Yeah, I'll just go play Fallout 3 another couple hundred times, and I'll be good.
I don't get it, because you're still excited about games. There are games that are coming out that you're
right,
excited
but I'm
about.
Not as excited as you guys. I think
you
I'm.
You are way more excited about Dishonored than I am.
Okay, one game, but in general.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
That's a good example, though.
That's perfect.
Okay, that's
you totally
one game.
Want to play Dishonored.
Right. Yeah, but I could also see myself it coming out and being like, I could play it, but eh. That's the thing. Like, it doesn't matter how excited I am, because there's another game coming out in a week that maybe I should get interested in that. It just doesn't matter. And there's 20 other games that are still sitting on my Steam account that I've never played.
There would never be few enough games for this not to be a problem.
No, there wouldn't.
So it's the argument's a little bit pointless, right? Because it's
only pointless because you don't feel it.
No,
it's not a problem for you.
No, I'm saying, imagine a world where only 10% of the games that come out now came out, right? A 90% decrease in the number of games. There would still be too many games for you ever to play. So it's not like there would ever be a scenario
if there was like one game a week, maybe 2 weeks.
Do you feel this way about movies?
That would probably be plenty for
me. Yeah, or books or TV.
I feel the same way about it. That it's media. I've said time and time again, there is too much media.
Okay, so that's
it's really hard to get. To get super pumped about too many things.
This is conflated with the sales issue. This is more about there just being too much to ever possibly consume than it is about there being sales.
This is just
sales
an
are sweet and awesome.
Issue.
Sales are great, and if there's a game that's coming out that you want to play and are excited about and it's on sale, I'm sure you'd buy it on sale, right? So sales, I think, is a separate issue. And
but I would probably buy it even if it wasn't on sale. If I really wanted to play it, it wouldn't
matter. Yeah, but if you had the choice, you'd pay less, and so it's better for you as a consumer. So sales good.
Yeah.
Too much game, too many games. Bad. I get
possibly
it.
Bad.
I get it.
Yeah. But it's just weird because I feel alone in this. I feel like you guys are, yes, give me more games. Give me 5,000 games a second. That would be better. I'm just like, no, it wouldn't be.
Yeah, here's how I think of it.
I would never play a game again, probably.
As far as books go, there are basically an infinite number of books to read.
As far as any human is concerned.
I don't need new books either.
As far as I personally am concerned. There are basically an infinite number of book options, and I only read like one or two or three books a year or something, right? Mm-hmm. And that's only if they're good or if I'm on an on year, like I cycle, right?
Right.
And so I don't have a problem with all these books getting written and coming out. I'm not like, Jesus Christ, there's too many books to choose from. I love it. I love the high numbers because it means, like, if I start a book and it sucks, I'll just drop it. Mm-hmm. I'll just be like, fuck this book. There are a billion other books that I could read that
literally
are way better than this.
Billions of other books.
Literally an infinite number of books that I would enjoy more than this book if I'm not engaged after 100 pages or whatever, right? So I only have the capacity now to read books that are the absolute best books in the world, right? And Name of the Wind, right, is so phenomenal. I loved it so much. I've read it twice, right, in 2 years or whatever.
Instead of reading one
instead
of the other
of
billion
reading
books,
one of
you
the
could
other
have
billion
read.
Books, yeah. right?
Yeah. Well, but that's also a separate
so
issue
good.
Of you of your standards being raised so high that you can't enjoy lesser books.
But it's
even though they may be enjoyable.
He has the option.
What I'm saying is I don't have crippling indecision from all these options. Like I hear there's a good book and if I have enough desire to go try it, I'll go try it. And if it's good, then I'm like, fucking A, this is great, and I'll read the whole thing. Maybe I'll read the whole thing again, and then maybe I'll look forward to its sequels, and then I'll be super fucking hyped for its sequels, right? And the same thing with games. Like, maybe I'll buy 50 Steam games that are on sale because they look kind of interesting, and then I'm, you know, at least kind of intrigued to try them, and maybe I will end up trying, like, 15 of them. And out of the 15 that looked most interesting and that I tried, maybe I'll end up fucking loving like one. And that's fine. And that was worth the buying 50 of them or whatever.
Right. And I just skip.
And it might have been the one that was a dollar.
I just skip the buying 50 part, I guess. I just, you can buy the 50. I will just not buy them. And I'll buy one game a year.
You could do what I do with books, which is, you know, buy one a year. Yeah. Or whatever.
Okay, so more games.
There's no reason for you to not be hyped about good. Dishonored.
I don't
not play Dishonored.
I'm not as super excited about it as you, but it's not a bad thing. So what else do we want from consoles besides every game ever at any point downloadable
all right,
now?
Back to the consoles.
Which is good.
Correct, back to consoles. I have very limited desires. I want it to be like awesomer.
Yeah.
Like better specs. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, it's good.
Bigger numbers.
Mm-hmm. More polygons. Right.
You want green up arrows.
In general,
not red down arrows.
In general, I think the Xbox and PlayStation are both good systems, and I just want them to have horsepower increases, and I don't want them to get worse.
Uh-huh.
So basically, like you were saying with the downloadable,
yeah.
I feel like that's obvious. Of course, everything should be downloadable,
yeah.
And ideally, it should be cheap, and it should be day and date with the disc, so I don't have to get discs.
Shouldn't ideally be free?
Should have big hard drives. No.
Why not? Why would you pay money if you could not pay money?
Because then you couldn't support... Well, actually, yes. It would be nice if there were a lot of free-to-play games where they are supported by the hardest core of players.
Ooh, yeah.
That want in-app purchases of cosmetic gear or want to unlock the end-game dungeons or whatever, right?
That's got to be a trend. I bet we see free-to-play games on
I
consoles.
Bet we'll see a lot more free-to-play games on consoles.
I don't know. Part of me kind of wishes they would just charge more and get rid of in-app everything.
Why?
I don't know. Cause...
You fucking love demos, and you're hesitant to buy things. You should be all over the free-to-play games.
I'm not talking about demos. I'm talking about like the game that just held over me and that I now hate myself for playing, like The Sims free-to-play.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel bad.
That is different.
Well, that's what I'm talking. That's an in-app purchase.
That is a badly
game. That's badly designed.
It is a badly designed.
Right. Well, those are bad. But I don't know.
It's just a bad game.
The time when you bought a game and you were done, it was bought. Yeah. I know it's probably over. But I'm saying I think I liked that better.
That's because you're angry at free to play. As a concept.
No, he could be talking about DLC, too.
No, well, I mean...
I
don't like a game where I'm in the middle of the game and, like, there's a pop-up saying, hey, you could have a better experience if you just spent money
right now.
That's
bad design.
Well, a lot of games do that.
They definitely do.
That's a thing that people do. Yeah,
so,
that's correct. Games do.
So I'm saying that games like Sims 2 or whatever, Sims
free-to-play
iPad or whatever, ruin it for the good free-to-plays because they... design it to be exploitative and to be not fun, right? Games like Team Fortress 2 are free to play but designed really, really well. So don't be like bigoted against free to play essentially, right? Because Sims 2 is a really bad example, or fuck, Sims iPad or whatever is a really bad example of it. Right? Think of the great examples and just hope that more of the good examples are implemented. Right? If more games like Team Fortress 2 come out for consoles, it's going to be better for everybody. Everybody loves the Team Fortress 2 model.
I guess.
It's purely cosmetic.
What do you mean you guess?
I don't know. It's just, but it's still just, there's stuff to buy in the game. It's not just the game and you're done.
Yeah, hats.
Yeah, even that. Even just, it's just.
You have a problem with people buying hats?
Yeah, fuck hats.
What?
I'm just saying that.
You have a problem with the
I don't know if it's
model?
I don't know if I like that that's even a part of the game. Like,
here's
why can't it just be the game and
you,
then get out of my face?
You, Mike, have the chance to download this game and play it 100% for free and have an identical experience to the person who's playing it who bought hats. They can't see the hat on their own head, right? All they have is
some knowledge that other players are seeing the hat when their model, you know, runs by and frags them or doesn't. So, like, your gameplay experience and hat wearer's gameplay experience are literally identical.
I think it's also very different because...
But yours was free, but that's worse?
Because it's a multiplayer game. All right, so give me a good example of a game that's not multiplayer, that you're totally cool with it having, you know, extra shit to buy.
I can't think of...
I mean, I guess Mass Effect 3, you know.
Well, like...
Or anything on Xbox,
Tiny
really.
Tiny Wings?
No.
Does Tiny Wings do the thing where you pay a dollar for, like, Save Your Life or something? What game does that?
Save Your
Bunch
Life.
Of Infinite Runners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Tiny Wings
I can't
that.
Think of any single-player games that do a purely cosmetic, like, free-to-play thing.
In general, when they're online and they're integrated with a store,
you know,
like
I think it's...
Social.
I think it goes along with the paradox of abundance issue that I have, is that even a single-player game like Mass Effect 3, you know, even DLC, mm-hmm. you know, like extra content. Like, mm-hmm. I know, there's no way I'm going to be able to make an argument that, you know, extra content is bad. Like, you'll never buy that. But it's I guess it's more of a pure nostalgia thing. Maybe I'm just nostalging when games were just done, and instead of having like DLC that you bought, especially that was on day one, immediately telling you don't have the whole game, here's the whole game. If you give us more money, we'll give you more of what we think the game is. You just paid $60 and you got a box and you had the game and you were done and you knew you had everything and there was nothing more to get, or they'd make a whole nother game. I know that's the old model. That will never happen again. But I guess I'm nostalgizing a little for that world.
Of course it'll happen.
But that's not the trend, though. That's not where gaming is going.
Well, it's not happening 100% of the time. But the marketplace, you know, has room for multiple models, right? There's different models are going to work for different games. I mean,
right. It's just that used to never be a model.
World of Warcraft,
I guess, shareware
is
sort of that model.
Expansions and still coming out with it still has their monthly fee. And some people say that's dead, right? Mm. You know, games are still coming out with single prices, but then other games are coming out that are free to play with in-app purchases that are really exploitative. And some are just coming out with like $60 plus a $10 DLC. There's room for every model. I don't think it's worth complaining about any of the models except the
okay,
ones
well,
that
thank
are...
you for invalidating my opinion then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your opinion's invalid.
That's nice. You can't do that to the host. Fuck
I
you.
I think you're rose-colored glassesing a little bit.
Because, I just said I was.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is nostalgia, or I don't deny that there's an appeal to, like, I got the game, and that's it, right? And I don't have to buy any more stuff, and this is 100% of what the developer wanted to put into it. But
and there's no pre-order bonus, depending on where you buy it.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
What that came with also was, if there's a game-breaking bug, it's fucking in there, and it's never leaving.
And yet, we somehow were still happy with gaming during that era. We weren't like...
No, those games failed miserably. Yes.
Okay, yeah. But there were still plenty of games that weren't like... total trash and buggy. Like,
what I'm saying is there were negative aspects to not being able to patch,
no,
et cetera,
it wasn't
well.
Perfect. So, yeah. Just, I don't know. It feels overwhelming every time I buy a new game and I already know there's more to buy.
That's just the psychological like completionist issue. Like,
okay.
If Mass Effect
so be it, then.
Comes out and it's $60 and you can play it and enjoy it, that's awesome. And then if you loved it enough that there's also $10 more worth of Mass Effect content to play, like, I think that's awesome that that option exists for the people that want to give them more money and want to experience a couple more hours of game. You know, it's like, it's the same to me as releasing Mario 1, 2, and 3. It's like, if in the single game model, like, it taken to its extreme, only Mario 1 could have ever existed, and none of its sequels could have ever been released, right? And
I don't understand what you mean.
I mean, like, DLC is essentially just like sequels. It's just smaller increments of sequels.
Right. It's a psychological thing.
A
get
better
that.
Example would be like Mega Man 1, Mega Man.
Yeah, that'd
1,
be
2,
pretty
and 3.
Accurate because right. Mega
Man the graphics
changed,
are very very similar.
Mega Man changed less.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Mega Man 1 is the only Mega Man that ever existed. You know, Mega Man's 2 through 10 were all DLC episodes of Mega Man 1,
right.
or sequels. There's essentially no difference.
Yeah, we're getting off track. Let's go back to
console futures.
Console futures.
Yeah, I was trying to make. Let's see. I have very few complaints. I want them to be bigger and better and faster, bigger hard drives, and all the obvious stuff like they need cloud syncing,
yeah,
saving and stuff. But you know the concrete things. I want more buttons on the controller.
More buttons.
So you want a keyboard?
No.
Essentially.
Not even close.
Those controllers have a lot of buttons.
Not even close. I want something that's handheld. Keyboard is not handheld. I want it to be ergonomic. A keyboard is not ergonomic, right?
Except ergonomic keyboards.
Not really. Not really.
I hate those things.
No, I think the controller that we're utilizing right now, you know, the standard dual analog with exactly, 14 buttons or whatever. It's pretty good. Pretty good model.
Yeah.
What? Is it four? It's something like 14.
Isn't it like 21?
4, 5, 6, 7,
I don't know.
18?
I could count. Whatever.
11.
Anyway, I want more.
Are you counting all directions on the D-pad? Are you counting the infinite
buttons.
Directions?
The D-pad is 4 buttons.
Well, you can go upright.
Okay, that's 17
that's
then.
Two buttons being pressed at the same time.
Okay.
There's
an infinite number of angles on an analog stick.
So the Xbox controller is virtually perfect. I want the D-pad to be an actual D-pad.
Uh-huh.
Xbox One sucks. PlayStation One's good. Nintendo One's good. They need to improve that. The little twisty thing may or may not be an improvement. And I want the 4 face buttons on the right to have 6 or 8. That would be an enormous improvement. If the A, B, X, Y became like A, B, C, X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Or
if there
was
Genesis.
There was a Genesis controller that had
like
that.
The yeah. Genesis, yeah. Right? But still, don't sacrifice like shoulder buttons or stick clicks or anything. I still want all the others.
Mm-hmm.
I just want like 2 or 4 more on the front for your thumb. You know, maybe some more on the left too, near the D-pad. That'd be sweet. 2 more on each side or something would be sweet. Or more underneath, like instead of 2 shoulder buttons on each side, like a
there's
trigger
like a
shoulder,
pinky button,
like an extra,
like a
trigger, middle finger kind of underneath, like 2 more underneath.
Yeah,
you know, there's quite a few options for the hair to be a lot more buttons. I could use at least 4 more
to play an MMO,
6 more, 8 more. Yeah, basically
to play
the one genre that isn't on consoles that should be is MMOs, right?
Mm-hmm.
It basically any other like, RTSs.
But don't you think they could effectively design an MMO that didn't need that many buttons?
This is true.
Yeah.
And that's why a couple of MMOs have come to consoles.
Yeah.
EverQuest Adventures is maybe one of the first ones. Final Fantasy XI is one of the first ones. I played those.
City of Heroes.
DC Universe Online is one of the most recent PlayStation 3 examples. But in general, they super simplify in order to reduce to the number of buttons, right? Terra was playable on a PC with a controller, and it natively, and it did something very similar to what I always do with Xpadder in order to get it working. But they could have easily ported that to consoles, but they didn't. Anyway, I want more buttons.
The only thing about more buttons is I think people are already confused and worried and too scared to pick up consoles.
Are people scared to pick those things up?
Yeah.
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 Are they intimidating?
It's a barrier to
entry. That's why we've never gotten more is because they're too intimidating as is.
It's a factor.
It's a barrier to entry for people.
Yeah. It's scared. There's a lot of fucking buttons on
there, like,
man.
I can't
compared
even
to the Nintendo controller, it's like 3 times as many buttons.
What if the other consoles, if the Xbox and PlayStation, just release more than one controller?
That's fine.
Right?
Sure.
They release the new Xbox controller,
which has
even more. And then they have the retro controller, which looks more like a Super NES.
I would be down for them.
Only
to
has
go
2 triggers and 4 face buttons and the sticks or something, and that's it.
But does that mean that they would not be able to play more complicated games with that controller?
So the games would then have the option of supporting both controllers? Or only the more complicated one.
Yeah, I think devs would probably be against that.
I would go the opposite way. I would go the opposite way. I would leave the controller the way it is, but release the Xbox MMO controller, and games could choose to support that.
That would be cool, too.
Yeah, support hardcore, not...
I would be happy with
that,
too.
The optional support would be the more complex one. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Wait, now are you saying keep the current controller as is?
Yeah.
Even though you just said it's a barrier to entry because it's complicated.
Well, I wouldn't suggest simplifying it more. I think it's pretty good, but I know it is a barrier to entry for people, you know.
So not doing anything to it will fix that?
No.
So we're not trying to fix that?
No, I'm saying I like Josh's idea for introducing a more complex controller for specific games that require lots of buttons, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't want that to be the default.
Right.
So don't you think the current...
I think the default is complex yeah. enough
so
as it is.
So don't you think the current one, the default one, is somewhere in the middle? It's too intimidating.
I think it's a good balance.
It's too intimidating for noobs, and it's not complex enough for hardcore. Don't you think it's somewhere in the middle?
I feel like it's plenty complex for hardcore, except for MMOs. Like, is there really any other genre that needs more buttons?
I think every console game that has come out
doesn't have enough buttons.
10 years is limited by the controller.
Well, obviously, is limited by the controller, but that's like saying the English language is limited by the alphabet. It's the set of rules by which you design
games.
Yeah,
if the alphabet had like 14 letters or something, right? Like.
There are alphabets that have 5,000 letters, right?
And they're harder to deal with. They're more obtuse, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, with more buttons on our existing controller, I think there'd be more options, and we'd see more games taking advantage of them. You know, as is, PC games that get ported often have to simplify,
mm-hmm.
and the easier way to do that now is for all these developers to just design them the first time for consoles.
But that's not why. They don't get...
That's part of the reason.
No, the reason is console is where games get played. Console is where...
That's true, too. It's money. That's the reason.
They can actually make some money, yeah.
It's money.
It's multiple reasons.
That, as a factor, is got to be my... This isn't a guess, but... I mean, businesses make decisions for business reasons, right? There might be developers who have... you know, feelings like that would agree with yours.
Okay,
but
what if the controller had a fucking scroll wheel then? I mean, PC gamers that you know, play console ports are always complaining about the UI or the whole interface of interacting with the game, which is really more complex than just the UI. It's simplified. It's oversimplified for them, and they want something more customizable with more options because they have more buttons that they can assign to their will. And I think if like consoles had like in their firmware, in their OS or whatever, an option native to the system to remap controls that like every fucking game didn't have to re-implement from scratch. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of those situations where on PC, like the OS handles all this jazz. And on the consoles, like, every fucking game has to re-implement from scratch all this stuff.
I definitely agree with that.
Right? Mm-hmm. The OS on consoles needs to handle a lot more.
Yeah.
It needs to have, you know, remappable controls is a very simple thing, but there's a bunch of other examples that I can't think of off the top of my head of the stuff that it should do.
The thing is, the logical extension of your argument is every game should have a specialized controller to perfectly take advantage of the developer's pure vision. Like, every game should be... What's the tank, the giant Steel Battalion,
yeah.
Right? Or every game should have a flight stick with a HOTAS switch and pedals and, you know.
But isn't that exactly what happens in the PC world? I mean, that's what the keyboard is. It's like, there's enough buttons for every possible game.
So, theoretically, yeah.
And there's flight sticks.
And that obviously happens. There are specific peripheral controls that come out
mm-hmm.
for, like, the Guitar Hero or whatever, right?
Right.
But I'm saying that we would all be better served by the console just coming with a new default controller that has a few more features.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to not push more people away, maybe they have this simple one that also comes with it that is so cheap to manufacture because it's so simple that it doesn't cost them that much more to include or whatever. I think it'd be, you know, worth of the increased value add from having both in the box, one of each or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know. Where the advanced one maybe has a scroll wheel or something, or maybe has like four more buttons. You know, there are improvements that can be made there. I want to see more innovation. Everybody has been on the same standard for a while. Maybe the Wii U controller with the touchscreen and integrated, you know,
and Valve.
Is an advancement that's going to be useful, but maybe not.
The Valve stuff, right? The Valve's hardware beta? You guys
heard about
that, right?
The one that's like, it has replaceable, or theoretically, the designs for it that were leaked. it has like a replaceable analog stick that you could drop in a trackball. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, this game works way better with a trackball. So, let me just switch out my analog stick with my trackball.
I didn't actually see that. Was that a Valve thing?
It was the Valve patents or whatever that got filed.
So what I was talking about...
It was this modular controller that had all these things you could drop in and out of it.
That's very cool.
It was super effing cool.
What I was talking about is they have, and this might be the same thing, we might be talking about the same thing, is they recently announced that they're going to be doing... Valve's hardware team announced that they are going to be doing a beta tests in early 2013 for an as yet unannounced product. So
Half-Life
it
3?
Could be that. Their hardware team.
For a piece of hardware that will run Half-Life 3?
It could be the Steam box, right? It could be the rumored Steam like PC as console. It could be a new controller. In that New York Times article, they were working on fucking computer vision and like their own version of Google Glass. So
it's not Half-Life 3, is it?
Half-Life 3 is not hardware, so I'm sure it's not Half-Life 3. Yeah. Unless it is. Right. Ooh, what if it's a dedicated Half-Life 3 player?
Right, it just plays Half-Life 3.
That's what it is.
The hardware is Half-Life 3. See, you're not thinking outside of the box enough. Yeah.
Yes. So that's interesting. I mean, the new. I must say, and I got fucking suckered in by the Wiimote originally, but I get excited whenever Nintendo, you know, flies off the handle and does something weird with hardware. It's always cool and fun, and the Wiimote turned out to be much more of a flop, in my opinion, than like the DS. But the DS seemed fucking crazy when that got announced. It's like, why would you need two screens? That doesn't make any sense. I've been playing games with one screen for a long goddamn time, and it worked pretty well. So what's the deal? How is that helpful? So I think that the you know, possibilities of asymmetric gameplay and asymmetric information between the Wiimote and its little touchpad individual screen, that's exciting to me. I hope that they get the chance to do cool stuff with it.
Yeah, I do like the idea where I think the example they used, like you're playing a game on the main TV, and then someone else comes in and wants to like you to stop doing that and watch, you know, a television program, and you can just kind of like keep playing the game on your pad and like lose no progress, and then when they're done, go back. You know,
as long as the game doesn't require both screens, you can just suck it in and play it as if it were a handheld.
I mean, because that seemed to be an issue with a lot of the games, like not at E3, I guess, when they were originally showing it off. Lots of people were just saying that, you know, you can't pay attention to like both screens, like so you lose something, you know, like. It's like you're playing two games at once, but you're only playing one game, and how can you really, like, how can you pay attention with any real, you know, like, progress on the screen in front of you, but you also need to look at the screen up there? Like,
well, there,
it's kind of like the...
There's a couple ways, right? Like, clearly, literally splitting your attention between both would be very hard, right. But there's the Zombie U is one game they mentioned, and that is, in effect, the Wii U becomes a... it's like your backpack. So the whole point is that it takes advantage of that split. So the gameplay and the zombies that are coming at you on the big screen. But if you need to look at your inventory, then you have to stop and look at the screen on the controller. And, you know, hopefully you have to navigate to a place where you feel safe enough to do that. But something can sneak up on you while you're doing it and scare the shit out of you while you're looking through. So it's you know, it's recognizing that that's a problem and taking advantage of it, right? There's also, you know, multiplayer games, right? Where, I mean, the one that they showed on the Penny Arcade example was one person's the DM, four people have Wiimotes, and they're the players. That one's for fucking free, Nintendo. Go make it, right?
Right.
Which is awesome. Like, that's the original asymmetric gameplay idea, right? So I think there are cool opportunities. I don't know if it'll be cool. It could be another... basically a flop. Like, the Wiimote essentially, as far as I'm concerned, is really good for games where you throw things and not good for anything else. So
it was like trying to take this gimmick and make it a generalized thing, and it didn't really work well. Yeah.
And they dropped it fast, even in Nintendo first party games. They really lost a lot of the waggle stuff pretty quickly.
Yeah, the fact that it's
like,
even
it's just not fun.
A meme of the waggling is bad, right. You know. But yeah, and I was super pumped about the Wii in the beginning, and I think my interest in Nintendo doing weird, wacky things has lessened since the Wii. But
it's just so hard to bet against them because they've been so successful with it.
But they
every
are
time.
They always are more interesting. They always, like you said, they always try to do something really weird, whereas the other ones are just like, either just making it bigger, faster, better, and you know, oh, now you can also watch Netflix and you can also watch this and do, you know, like they're just trying to, they're doing the convergence thing. They want you to have their box and do everything on it.
Right.
And that's great, but it's not just like curious. There's nothing curious about that. That just seems normal. That is a normal progression of what entertainment is, but Nintendo is going up. Now we're going to go down this weird fucking crazy path.
Yeah.
It may not pay off, but we still have a lot of money in the bank, so we're going to try this shit. Hopefully it works.
But it just has. I mean, it has worked for them the
whole
time.
Yeah, the Wii is a huge success.
The Wii won the console generation.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
Like, by an order of magnitude,
literally. And yet none of us play it anymore, so it's not for us.
It depends on what you mean by that.
Sold most consoles for Nintendo.
Yeah, but consoles isn't necessarily the best measure.
Made the most profit off of.
The profit is closer. The profit is close because Wii owners bought fewer games.
Sure.
So you look at charts of total
but
money.
Most of the games that they bought were first-party Nintendo games that they get all of the money from rather than third-party. That's a strength and a weakness, right? Having a robust third-party ecosystem is definitely helpful.
Yeah. That's always been
Nintendo's
issue, though.
The company got lots of money.
Yeah, they've always been the strong first-party company, whereas the other guys are always third-party people, or often.
I appreciate Nintendo's ingenuity, the risk-taking, you know, with the controller experiments, but I'm not super excited about the Wii U controller because the screen doesn't support multi-touch. I think it's resistive. I don't think it's capacitive. I think it's like old-ass touchscreen tech, which doesn't excite me. The Vita touchscreen, like integrated buttons with the like contextual buttons, like grenades popping up only when you have inventory of grenades. That works super well, and so I think the possibilities there, you know, are exciting, but I'm not sure, you know, how well it's going to get utilized or whether that's good enough on the Wii U to make it worth getting and make all the developers support it. You know, the latest rumor that I heard last week was that some developer that had a Wii U dev kit and was testing shit on it, it actually seemed less powerful to them than the current gen. And the hope was it was, you know, 30 or 50% more powerful or something than the 360, et cetera.
It was like 1.5X.
One point something, yeah. Right? But supposedly in the initial tests with some dev has, they were trying hard to get it up to par with the other consoles, and they had to sacrifice some things to get it to run well. Maybe that was just unfamiliarity so far, you know, hopefully. But that certainly doesn't bode well if both the other consoles or manufacturers are going to release, like, far superior hardware in the next year and a half, you know? I think it was a mistake for them to release a new console right now without more power. But
it's clearly
they've been doing it, you know, they did it on the last console, and it worked for them.
Yeah.
So what do I know?
Yeah, we'll see. Anything else we want to see? Anything we don't want to see with new consoles? Like, what would suck?
Oh, man, there are so many things that could suck. If Microsoft makes it harder on developers, and they keep pushing away third parties, and they make their cert process even more annoying.
Yeah.
If they don't make their OS do more things, and they keep putting all these, you know, not just all these requirements on their devs, but also, you know, offloading all this work. If they don't make good SDKs, if it's just crazy expensive.
What about like ad subsidized?
If the fucking contract. The front end is just even more full of ads.
Mm-hmm. Well, what if you get
even
a
harder to get to things
on the console?
If it's not any faster to actually launch games, if it's actually slower and more steps to just launch games, oh my god, I'm scared that all those things are possible.
Yeah.
Well, because that's the thing with Microsoft, and I don't know about Sony, but you know. I don't really think they want to even like continue down the path of just identifying as a game box maker. Like
that's true.
That's limiting. That's real. I mean, logically, it's limiting to just say we make a box that plays games. They want it to do everything. So not as important to them.
To some extent, I'm totally cool with that. I just don't want it to get worse for games in order to get better for cable TV or whatever they're doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? you guys probably heard about this. Notch got an email from Microsoft last week that said, hey, we can help you certify your games you're developing for Windows 8.
I don't think it said we can help. I think they said we want to help you.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
We want to, you know, Minecraft to be a Windows 8 certified game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he basically replied, fuck you, you're ruining PC gaming. Stop doing that.
Yep, that sounds like him.
Yeah, Microsoft is not making every step in the right direction. So it's a little worrisome. We'll see what they announce.
Yeah. What about like a subsidized console? There is an Xbox you can buy right now that is on contract and subsidized.
I have no problem with it if it's an option. That's cool.
Yeah, option is fine. Okay. I will probably not. I don't know. Yeah, I think
because that model took over cell phones. Theoretically, you can buy.
Oh, you mean just the contract?
Yeah, on model, contract, yeah. But cheap. But well, only the way cheap they, because you're paying a lot for
the way they enforce
and the
service.
Difference about that is that you need service though, so it makes sense to go down that model.
Well, we all pay for Xbox Live, do we not?
Right. Well, but I mean, are you saying like? I guess I'm not really sure what you mean by subsidized then. Like, so I can get an Xbox for $100 instead of $200, but I have to have ads like the whole time or something?
Or Xbox Live Gold is required, and you're locked into a contract with an early termination fee and everything else that would come along with it. Like, what if it was just like buying a cell phone?
Right.
So the way the cell phone...
I'm not against that.
The way the cell phones lock you into it, and it's really actually a bad option to just purchase the hardware, is that your plan isn't any cheaper if you don't get the new phone subsidized from them, right? They add the $5 or $10 a month that all the new phones they're buying for people are costing into your bill every month, no matter what, right? And so far, you know, the consoles haven't done that. The Xbox membership is crazy cheap if you wait for it to go on sale online. And buy the cards for $35 when they're retail $60, you know, and you plan ahead and you get a year at a time. If you're, as the current plan announced for the Xboxes, you know, you're forced to pay full retail monthly rate for that thing for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And if that's the only option, that would totally suck and be annoying.
Well, so that one's an interesting case because it isn't a subsidy. It's basically
a payment plan.
Moderately... like reasonably normal interest loan. Like
yeah,
it's not high.
Interest.
You're basically just paying interest, right? It's cheap to buy now, but you pay more than you would, and it comes out to like $420 instead of $385 or something like that. You know? So you're basically just getting a small loan from Microsoft for a cheaper console. But what I would be talking about is more along the lines of like, okay, Xbox Live costs this much, and you have a contract with us to buy it for 2 years, but your console is free because of that, right? Like, you get a free phone.
So
I would probably be tempted.
Yeah, so what I'm already doing, which is paying for Xbox Live...
But you don't have the option to buy the... You would have to pay the full retail price instead of you know, being able to get it on sale or whatever.
So right now, I buy an Xbox. It's $200. I pay $60 a year to have Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. That's like the current model.
Right.
You do that?
Well, okay. Or $35 if you think ahead and you buy the card. I don't know. I never do that because I'm lazy. But I should. Anyway, $35, $60.
You have the chance now.
I have the chance. Yeah. Okay. But what you're saying now is that I would buy 2 years of Xbox Live up front. So I pay...
No, not up front. You buy it monthly. Like your cell phone. You pay your cell phone contract once a month.
Okay.
Right? You can walk out of a Best Buy only paying tax and a contract.
So I would pay the $5 a month instead of the $60 a year. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
That's what would change. I would just pay it differently. I'd pay the same amount, but I pay it differently, and I would get a free console.
No, presumably you would pay more.
Obviously
it's going to work out
financially
in favor of Microsoft.
So they're going to raise the Xbox Live rate to include the console so they get their money. It's just, but now I'm paying it as part of my Xbox Live subscription rather than a lump sum upfront to buy the console.
Right.
I don't know. I guess that seems fine. I mean, I use Xbox Live. So
like I was saying with phones, they work the $10 a month you're paying for the subsidized phone into the bill and you don't see it and you don't have an option. So it's a terrible option to pay $600 for a phone and pay the monthly rate where you're subsidizing a new phone that you're not getting for free, mm-hmm. right? So you basically only have one option. It's not an option. Right now with the Xbox, it is an option
yeah.
because you can get the membership on sale or you can get no membership at all and you can buy the console at full price or you can get the console subsidized or whatever with the Xbox Live signing up for 2 years. If they replace it with the cell phone type plan where there's really only one option, I'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
I want them to have the cheaper...
And introduce the Microsoft Xbox Live App Store.
Right.
That's what's coming after that or alongside
it. Well,
that
already exists. It's called Xbox Live Arcade.
Right, I know. But that will be the only way to get right. games onto it. That's what will happen.
I guess we neglected to mention the fact that all consoles are subsidized, at least at launch, right? They yes. always lose money on their consoles to begin with. So
I thought Nintendo was famous for not doing that.
Nintendo's the only one who right. doesn't, yeah.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
They started,
until they lower yes. it when they realize that it's not selling.
Yeah.
Right.
Ouch.
Right.
Ouch.
Yeah. Whoops.
Ouch. Yeah.
I don't know. In general, like, I think consoles are all right. And
I'm psyched about the new consoles.
Incremental improvements are always good, I guess.
I'm excited to see what they are.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
I hope Nintendo comes out with something good, but I'll probably still stick with Microsoft. Maybe Sony. I don't know. I'm fine with Microsoft. I don't really see myself switching over to Sony.
See, Sony threw out a new console, a new version, a second PS3 Slim. It's like PS3 Slimmer, except it's more expensive.
Yeah, that sounds like
Slimmery.
What?
That sounds like Sony. That's, I mean, they've done
what
it forever.
Do they do?
Nintendo keeps doing that.
Oh my god! Not more expensive.
Well, the DSs, they went through like three or four. They went through like five sizes of DS.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's ostensibly, like a DSi XL. Is an improvement because it has a bigger screen, right?
No, but just the regular DS, the fat DS, and then
the DS Lite.
Yeah.
And then the DS
Lite
DSi,
XLI or something.
The DSi, and then the DSi. Like, they went
XL.
Through several iterations of just slightly smaller, little better screen, better camera. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Game Boy, you know.
And they got more expensive when that happened? They didn't get less.
They generally always drop the current one and either launch the new one at the same price mm-hmm. as the old one or launch the new one a little higher than the other one had already been dropped mm. to. You know what I mean? Like, this price of the new Slim
yeah.
is not higher than the PS3 launched at.
Right.
The PS3 launched at $650.
True, but it's higher than what you can buy it right
or
now.
Something, right? And yes, the DSs yeah. do that. They often launch higher than the...
Okay, that seems weird to me.
...existing one is. It doesn't seem that
Because the whole point is, like, it's we've gone farther down the generation. It's now cheaper for us to make it. We've got this new way to make it where it's
much
cheaper.
So what price is it launching at?
What?
The new Slim, what is it launching at?
I don't know, but it's, like, it's more than...
But it probably has a bigger
now.
Hard drive. And it probably
yeah, but
is
a
like
hard drive is free,
faster, or better.
To,
in
to
some
Sony,
way.
That's like 4 cents or something like that. When they buy their allotment of gigantic hard drive, like 10 million hard drives from Hitachi, right?
But at least they have a legitimate excuse. Like okay. its specs are actually better, in
well,
some way.
A smaller physical size is basically
with
not,
a larger hard drive
is not a spec improvement because I have room enough for the biggest fucking PS3 in the world on my entertainment in my console, my home. Console, right? My entertainment center. So a smaller physical size, meh, neither here nor there. Bigger hard drive, yeah, definite improvement, but basically free to Sony, right? A few dollars, right? Not $40.
Sony. God, they're bastards.
It's like
how
$50 more expensive.
How dare they improve their console?
How dare...
how dare they
microscopically
improve
it?
It's probably going to pay for itself in electricity bill.
That's possible.
It's probably more efficient.
Yeah. I won't throw out that's
better
legitimate
power supply. Yeah. You know,
shit
less draw.
Even
man.
If it didn't pay
less
for itself.
Heat, less
that's
noise.
A reasonable reason.
You know, it's not. You're not just putting it in your pocket. It's there are other benefits to it being.
So,
covered.
I think we've had a good discussion about this. Sorry, I'm hosting now.
We are.
Yeah, we
digging this into the ground.
We've talked a lot about the future of consoles. I have publicly shamed myself and my fear of entertainment. So I think we can move past this. Do we want to talk about...
Next week, we're going to talk about
yeah.
how fucking awesome Asura's Wrath is.
Because we'll play more
we'll
and
have
even
more
to say. But let's just say...
It's immeasurably good.
Asura's Wrath, immeasurably good. Side of planet monsters. Also, get more... what is it? What's the stuff they need? Mantra.
Oh,
get
yeah.
more mantra. before next week. Okay. Let's wrap this up. We are the Escort Mission. This has been me, Mike, and Josh and Chaz talking to you, the listeners. Go to our website, send us email, check out us out on social media, buy stuff through our Amazon link.
Thank you.
Send us mail yet again. Yes. Another week we didn't get to play the mailbag song, which I'm very unhappy about. I love that song. You did this, listeners. You did this to us. Anyway, you guys got any parting thoughts?
Buttery, not stuttery.
Play Dark Souls.
Play Dark Souls. Okay. And check out the awesome music that I'll eventually make. All right, we're out. Late.
Later.
Late.